Let's see here. Good morning, and welcome to the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District quarterly board meeting. Bring it up to public comment. It's our public comment period. All members of the audience wishing to step forward, you may do so. Please state your name for the record. And welcome, and good morning.
Good morning. My name is Jane Beeman. I'm a Morro Bay resident, and I own the Bayfront Inn in Morro Bay, which is 16 units. I'm here to address, and I can't be here at 10 o'clock because I have to run my hotel, so I'm here to address you, since you're the same board members, about the issue of changing the bylaws. I've talked to other small hoteliers, and I'm sure maybe if you guys would call them directly and canvass them. We are not in favor of changing the bylaws open-ended for getting rid of the idea of a small hotel not being involved. Our issues are different. For the most part, we don't have two beds in a room. For the most part, we don't have meeting areas. So our marketing issues, our occupancy issues, and the way we market is a little bit different than larger hotels. We usually get the runoff, which is actually good. But so I'm against that. I wish that more of the small hotels would come here and address that, but I think that's important. I would encourage you to, if you're thinking about trying to select people, hoteliers on the board, which I'm very much in favor of 5 hoteliers on the board. This is our money. That we get somebody also from the north end of Morro Bay. Their issues and their seasons are a little bit different than ours in the tourist season. And even if you can't get them to sit on the board because it's pretty cumbersome with hours, I encourage you to reach out to them and talk to them about the issues on the agenda. If they're not in on a Wednesday or they can't get the agenda on a Wednesday that's attached to the emails, they won't know about anything. And, you know, I've asked before, I make outreach calls so I get to understand a little bit more things, but apparently they don't. So it goes both ways. So I encourage you not to approve that. And I know everything else goes to council, but I thank you for sitting on the board. And that's it.
Thanks, Jane. Anyone else in the audience for public comment? Okay. Seeing that there's no one else stepping forward, we'll go ahead and close public comment, period. Now we'll look to the approval of the May 11, 2015 minutes. And I did have an opportunity to read them. I hope everyone else did too. As a matter of fact, I went to go listen to one of our discussions because I wasn't sure, because May is a while ago, so I wanted to be sure. And I went back to slow span to listen back to the discussion. And I noticed that on slow span, I wanted to, since the city is here today, if we can work with AGP or whoever, slow span I think is who we work with, they don't list what time of day the TBID meetings will be playing back. They have PWAB, Planning Commission, who knows if they actually want to listen back, but if they do, they would have no idea what time to watch Channel 20 right now. So I don't know if who that is in terms of conversation. But anyhow, I did listen back and the minutes were right. So does anybody have any changes to the minutes?
I'll make a motion that we approve the May 11th, 2015 TBID meeting minutes.
Is there a second?
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Transient occupancy tax quarterly report. And this is where we basically review the revenue. I don't know whether you paged through the report into the worksheets. The sales tax had not been updated. We're going to have to bring that back as a extended or a future agenda item for our next meeting. At the time that we created this report, we hadn't received the quarterly sales tax report yet. So, and it's what we refer to as the MAP. And I did print it and lay it out for everyone because it makes it much easier when you see it all on one huge piece of paper that we can kind of look at and pass along. In terms of revenue, I called Susan Slayton yesterday to find out what the adjusted budget number was in January, but she agreed that it was a whopping revenue number, and so the city finance department is really thrilled with how TOT came in. So that was great. The final number for the 2015 year in, total motel receipts was $24,350,000 in motel receipts, and the TOT collected to the city was $2.434 million in revenue, which that's a big number. But then when you go all the way across and you look, the total TOT collected, including vacation rental and trailer park receipts, we talked in January at this meeting that we might break $3 million, which would be unbelievable for our city, and we got so close. We got so close with our TOT collected number at $2.9 million, $2.913 million, which is, that's gigantic when you consider that, and there's lots of spokes in the wheel. It's not just the TBID that provides the partnership to get this number moving. It's hotelier renovation. It is city improvements. It is marketing. It's rate and revenue. It's also, when you look at revenue, revenue will go up because of a wage increase to minimum wage or a sewer and water increase. So it's everything. There's everything in here that creates a business model. But back in 2010, TOT to the city collectively between hotels and vacation rentals and trailer parks was $1.8 million. So it's jumped a full $1 million in 5 years, which is
phenomenal.
Huge.
It's giant. Ginormous. It's one third. I don't even know how to put that into how big. Maybe Sam can put that into what that means to a city this small. Good morning,
Post,
Sam.
Good morning. Thank you. So, Sam Taylor, Deputy City Manager. So, post-recession, that's obviously a very big deal. What cities have really dealt with from that 2007-2009 time period where revenues were drastically shrinking, particularly sales tax, which required us to be very creative for the community. It typically means losing staff and still providing the same level of service. So it's a very big challenge. So in order to continue to provide that level of service, having an additional $1 million over a five-year period is amazing. It really is. It really helps provide for the entire community. And so this is obviously a very great value to Morro Bay.
I hope that we can continue the trend in five more years, right? I mean, that would be one heck of a forecast for everyone. Look at Freddie. He's like, well, Joan.
That'd be huge. Don't overcommit.
We'll keep our fingers crossed, though. one thing I want to have you look at is the number of rooms really hasn't changed significantly over 5 years. So this has really been drawn by, we haven't added rooms. We've had some hotels decrease rooms, a couple of very, very small two-room, like vacation rentals come online, but overall.
Well, if you look at the number of rooms, it's actually decreased a few by five. I mean, which it's five rooms, but it just shows that it's not, has nothing to do with the number of things here.
Number of rooms, right. Yeah. And look at the occupancy percentage over 5 years, 47% to 63% in 5 years.
Remember, we wanted to get over 50% to see that. It's awesome.
Right. We were
the lowest
for
in the
18
county.
Years to break that 50% mark. And it's giant to see 63%. We really have focused tourism. I think having a tourism bureau and folks, boots on the ground here every day promoting Morro Bay, every day getting the word out about us, has been huge for our community. We never had that kind of driven, piloted focus before. So those are my comments on this one. And our ADR, our RevPAR, everything is right in line with the economy. We haven't, to make that revenue up, we haven't had these giant swings in ADR. It's stepped up equally with the occupancy. It's balanced. It's a balanced approach. It's not this wild ADR that's made up the revenue. It's an increase in occupancy and an increase in ADR level. It's a level balance. So I think that's healthy for the hotel community here, and I think it's healthy for our tourism. But I'm going to look right and left and see if you have any thoughts on these.
Madam Chairperson, if I may, really quick, just one additional thought. I think there's absolutely no question that the what's been done in Morro Bay in terms of tourism marketing promotions, thanks to the creation of the T-Bid, has absolutely enhanced this revenue. Part of the challenge in these is figuring out how much. And
I think
we all agree that it's helped, but how much? Because we have data from 2010 forward, part of that equation is coming out of the recession. So I think it might benefit us in the future to see how we compare to other jurisdictions who maybe had T-bids prior to recession, and then what happened during the recession to them, and then post-recession, to see if we're on a similar track as if we had one before. But I think that there's absolutely no way we would be at this level without the T-bid. That's unquestioned, absolutely.
I agree with you. That would be interesting to see, to look at someone else. Yeah.
So in the county of San Luis Obispo, Sam, what other cities do we have to compare that to get that data from?
I don't believe we do in this county because we were the first, correct?
Well, we
Paso
do.
Was
Paso
was a year.
Paso and we came online at the same time.
Thank you.
Like within 2 months or something. Well, Fred would know because he was in Paso. Do you remember when you came online over there?
I don't remember exactly when it was, but I know we came at the exact same time. When the county bid fell apart, we went straight into doing the same thing.
It was like almost simultaneously.
It's a little tough, though. I don't know if we can really compare the two. The structure of the bid in Paso is night and day different than the structure here. And I don't know to what end we'd necessarily want to be looking at that. I mean, I see positive progress from having the T-bid here, definitely. But in every community, the T-bid's going to be different. The amount of dollars, the way they structure it, the attractions and different things, it's going to be really hard to find an apples-to-apples comparison, I think.
Well, and something with Paso, too, is they've added a lot of inventory, which is something Morro Bay hasn't done. I mean, they've probably doubled their inventory.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just even just off the cuff. I mean, they've added so much inventory there in the vacation rental side of things, and also large hotels too, that's what's really hard to compare to, because it's not an apples to apples comparison. You're completely different markets because you've added all this inventory. So of course they're going to go up with all this added inventory. So
yeah,
for Morro Bay to do that without added inventory is what I think is really impressive. And I think you nailed it, Joan. It's a lot of the focus. We've been really focused on trying to spin the wheel and focus on tourism. And that's something that the community wasn't doing prior to the T-bid.
Yeah, we'd have to find a community that had no added inventory. That would be pretty tough, I think, in that.
But you could take this as far as you want. The added inventory in Paso should have affected us negatively, honestly.
Well,
so I mean, you can keep looking at it, and the more you pull at this.
Well, we do have another report that does reflect some county side by sides. The other thing I want to say is that I know that the city just did a study, and the study did a comparison per capita income, and they showed per capita that Morro Bay is our tourism earning is way above the California norm and way above most cities per capita residential capita. Although, you know, Pismo is kicking the pants off us, but we have to remember, you know, they didn't give room count. Pismo has more than double the amount of rooms as us, more than four times the recreational RV spaces for rent. And, you know, almost triple the vacation rentals. So, of course, their number is going to be, I mean, their tourism spaces are almost equal to their houses, probably. So it's, you know, it's a different animal when you put all of that stuff into the fray. And what was the name of that study? Does anybody remember? The Management Partner Study. All of a sudden, the light bulb. Yeah, the Management Partner Study talked about per capita tourism earnings. And I was, you know, went back and looked at that again to see how these numbers reflected. And then I realized Pismo, the stuff that Pismo has in there to make that up is completely different. So anyhow, kudos to everyone, the hoteliers, the city, the recreational folks, because when these people come in and they spend these dollars in hotels, they go out into our community and they spend $2.50 to $3 for every dollar they spend in a hotel. So great for those guys renting bikes and the kayakers and the skateboard museum. Oh, wait a minute. And all those folks. But certainly, you know, the TBID isn't the end all that meets all, but it certainly is a large contributor to getting the economy back on track here and replacing some lost revenue. So we hope to continue the trend. That's our job. Go ahead.
My last comment on what you were saying, Sam, like from my background, I love data, and I really like honest data and finding a bottom line, you know, like a baseline, and be able to see where your increases are really coming from. I think it's really valuable, especially when you're trying to quantify like the potential of growth in certain investments or whatever. So if there was that data out there, like if it was a general data for California or if it was, you know, a comparative city or whatever, I would find that interesting, especially when you're in talking about the value of the TBID. I mean, essentially what we're talking about. And having that data, that's where the answers are. So I would love to see that. I don't know if that's Brent's or you, or I don't think it's me.
Yeah, so part of this, we have a really great opportunity coming up because we're going to be going out and working with a consultant on a full citywide economic development strategic plan. And obviously, tourism being our largest sector here, part of their analysis will be a market analysis of our area, and likely will compare us to statewide or other areas. So I think that's a good opportunity to grab that data. They're going to be doing a lot of that. Also, yesterday I had a meeting with the Workforce Investment Board, which works on a variety of things, but really helping with retraining and really helping ensure that there's an appropriate level of employees or well-trained employees throughout the county. And they actually do a lot of that data. And so they hopefully by the end of August, they will be pulling for me a lot of our workforce data, industry data here in Morro Bay, and that might give us a better snapshot on that. And I'm happy to share that once we get it. If not in that one, then right now I'm building the RFP for the Economic Development Strategic Plan, and so I probably will highlight, you know, let us know how we're doing compared to other folks in terms of tourism and where they have T-bids, you know, or bids of some kind. So I think that's very valuable because I want the same data. I'm fully on board with you.
Well, and I would think that what you were saying about like the recession being a keystone date and seeing what's before and after, like that should be a general number of a rate, you know, increase because of the recovery from the recession. So that number should be out there. Yep. I would think.
Yep.
Okay.
We do have some data comparing us in these reports to California, the state of California. SLO, Paso Robles, these are from the STAR reports, Santa Barbara, Santa Maria, Monterey and Salinas, and, of course, Morro Bay out on the end. So we already do have data comparing us to other areas, regions, regional data, and it compares our year-on-year occupancy growth or declines, and that is on the report titled Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Lodging Industry Historical Data. It's on that worksheet. Under 3, comparison to STAR. So it's all the way down. It's the bottom end of that report. I don't know if you're there yet. It's on the historical page. So if you get to that historical page, you can see that there's comparison data that goes all the way back to 2010, Sam. And everyone else? Pardon?
They don't have that. They have the PDF. So the Excel spreadsheet did not get sent out to...
Yeah, exactly. Well, I printed from 2010.
Yeah.
Oh, I have 2000. So I have 2002 on my iPad.
So I can go ahead and share that.
Okay. So we do have that data available.
And I think she's looking
on the Excel spreadsheet. And you know what? We'll review it then at the next meeting. We'll review this historical data at the next meeting. And we'll just put it on the next Tourism Bureau meeting agenda. That way we don't have to wait a whole quarter. But we'll review the historical data. And we can go all the way back to 2002 if you want to, which is fine. We can do that. I didn't realize that wasn't put through to the whole gang as we worked on this. But we do show that Morro Bay, you know, we've had some ups. We've had a couple of flats, and we've had a couple of downs. And we are really trending very, very well comparatively in ADR and RevPAR. And in occupancy against all of the other competing regions. And I'll actually just pass this around so you can see it now, but we'll move on.
Madam Chair, may I?
Yeah, go ahead.
So as far as like the report itself, we're actually up 15.8% in overall TOT collection. The difference between last year and this year, we had 2.9 million. It was a 13.6% increase in just overall motel hotel receipts. 3% increase in average overall occupancy to 63%. We're going to be addressing that in the MBTB future meetings, talking about, you know, the overall goals. Average daily rate increased by $6.71. So some great data and information that's out there.
For the city purposes, when the original budget came out back last year on July 1, 2014, we beat that original budget by $663,118, meaning the city has an extra over a half a million dollars, two-thirds of $1 million to work with this year that they didn't have last year that was unbudgeted and unallocated. They did adjust the budget. That's why I called Susan Slayton. I said, didn't you take a budget adjustment? And she said, yes, we adjusted the budget in January, and they adjusted the budget to 2.35. So they took it up. They took it up like $300,000. They took it up a little over $100,000. Like, it was about $200,000. I wrote the number down somewhere. But either way, it was still $400,000 over the city's adjusted budget, which, you know, I hope makes everyone happy, right? So, good. Great. And, yeah, wow, 15%. Thank you, Brent.
You know, one thing, team tourism. Brent, you might want to go, and Sam may know about that STAR report, but that might be really good information that the hoteliers get, so you might want to share how to get the STAR reports, or, you know, I know we at the hotel are part of that, being the Best Western, because I know you have to have a membership to that. But if there's certain data you're looking for, you can always pop me a email if we don't participate as a bureau.
We are coordinating with Visit San Luis Obispo County, so they are actually investing in that, and that's something that they're going to be, you know, sharing on a regular basis. You know, once there isn't a lot of data within the county, you know, as far as a good comparison. So that's why they've been holding off a little bit as far as like the STAR report.
And so when we report, Sam, just so you know, when we report Morro Bay's true numbers based off of the TOT report that the city supplies to us. That means we're reporting for 100% of the lodging units in Morro Bay. The STAR report takes a sampling. So it's really Best Westerns. It can be 12 properties in an entire municipality, and there can be 50 properties in the municipality. So it's not 100% apples to apples, is what I'm trying to explain to you when you look at those numbers too. So
usually they're going to be the larger chain properties that are right. paying, because you have to pay into it to put your data in. So if you're not paying into it, which a lot of the small properties in Morro Bay don't pay into it because they're smaller independents, that data is not included in there. So it is definitely a skewed report. It's not an accurate, whereas our reports off city is 100% accurate. So you do have to keep that in mind. It's good for, you know, a benchmark, but it's definitely not something you want to
hang your hat on.
Yeah, because it is going to hit, it's going to be much more reflective of the larger properties versus the independents. And Morro Bay has a ton of independents. Yeah. So it makes it a little bit hard. It's a little skewed.
Flagged properties. Okay, so that is, unless there's more comment on the TOT report, I'll see if there's any comment from the public. Any public comment on TOT? Okay. If you can state your name for the record.
John Solo, business owner of Morro Bay and citizen of Morro Bay. Just a few thoughts. I know we don't have July numbers yet, but there is a report on the slow city T-bid that shows three different cities on their Smith Travel Star report. So Paso Robles for the first 28 days ran an 84% occupancy, 84.1 to be exact. Last year they ran 84.4 occupancy. This is a Smith Travel report. Pismo Beach ran a 91% occupancy, 0.1, and last year they ran a 91.4% occupancy. San Luis City ran an 89.1% occupancy this year, year-to-date through the 28th of July. Last year they ran 89% occupancy. So really, the three cities for the month of July were either flat or a little bit down in occupancy. The city of Morro Bay last year ran an 83% occupancy on that report that you were showing us, Brent. And it would be interesting to see what our growth would be for the month of July this year. I keep coming up here and saying how we gain market share compared to rest of the county. This would be a perfect gauge just for the month of July, because year on year, the city of Morro Bay still behind in occupancy, still behind in average rate for the hotels, unfortunately for the rest of the county, but our gains have been much greater, which means that we're getting the piece of the pie, bigger piece of the pie than the rest of the county. That's what that report shows, unless there's other proof out there. And I don't know any other city within this county of San Luis Obispo that reports number of rooms occupied for the month on their TOT report. And I don't know, Fred, if you know if Paso did, but I don't think they do. I think Morro Bay is the only one. So the only thing we can compare ourselves to is the county Smith Travel report is the only report that we can look at, because Morro Bay does a better job in reporting market share and gains for the city of Morro Bay than the rest of the county. So I just wanted to kind of throw another twist in there. It'd be interesting to know what we end up July with at the end of August, because we're probably going to be behind in the rest of the county's occupancy, but I bet you we'll be at 85%+, which means our gain would be much greater. So that just a thought. Thanks.
You know, and I want to comment on what he's saying. I think we've seen that month and month. We're getting larger gains than the other communities. It is that market share thing, and I think we're seeing that month after month. So I think you bring up a great point, John. It's not just July. I think we've seen that most of the year. Everybody else is growing maybe, 2%, and we're growing 3 to 5. We have more room to grow. We're still not where we need to be, but we are gaining more of that share month after month.
And I know the other hoteliers in the room are going to throw dagger eyes at me, but to me, these numbers here and that market share gain just, shows that we could have more inns in town. That's all I'm saying.
I disagree with her.
I will tell you that being a part of the Visit San Luis Obispo County Marketing Committee, Morro Bay is actually going to be serving as being the model for reporting. It's something that they're very impressed with. They love the fact that city actually collects all of that data, and they want to work with us to...
Hoteliers have rooms out of order, because that helps us get good numbers. So thank you very much, city. Thank you very much, public comment. And any more? Any more public comment? Close public comment at this time. Okay. And... any more comments on TOT? Well, the treasurer of the Tourism Bureau to Brent for a report.
I provided the copy of the budget.
Right.
It should actually have been in your at your place. So essentially, we do have a carryover. We did a we did a closeout of the year. Let me grab my copy here. Sorry, Joan, I didn't realize that you were going to put me on the spot. So if you take a look at the budget, there is a carryover. About 100, close to about $150,000 of that budget is actually for projects that were approved by the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau board for fiscal 15-16. Sorry, here we go. So we had a carryover of $171,743.44. We also had a carryover for the visitor center of $23,178.86. We did have the estimated in cooperative advertising as well as the financial reserve policy, which is 5% of the assessment funds. And so total that you guys will be approving today in releasing funds to the Bureau will be $985,743.44.
Does everybody understand that? So are there any questions for Brent? Okay. Then we'll open it up for discussion. No? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. None? Great. Go market. That's it. Go market, go market. And now we have board elections. Yay! Election of chair and vice chair. And for this, I'll look around and look for volunteers to step forward and be the chair and the vice chair for the 2015-2016 year. Or I'm feeling like I could nominate Fred right now to be the board chair.
I'll second that.
Great. Now we're open for discussion to see if Fred would be interested. Everyone's laughing at us, but
Madam Chair, do you want to talk about the regulations as far as like who can serve as chair and who can
serve
as vice chair?
Yes, I probably board would be able to be in the chair position. The vice chair could be any member of the board and is currently the world famous Morro Bay Skateboard Museum owner Jack Smith, and he's doing a fabulous job, and he may want to continue on in that seat. We'll get to him in just a second. Those positions, the vice chair's position on the Tourism Bureau, on the Morro Bay TBID board, is any position, any member of the board is eligible for that position. However, the chair's position is narrowed to the hotelier field. And we have nominated Mr. Reed. Mr. Reed, do you accept that nomination?
Sure. I'll accept that nomination.
Great. We had a motion. We had a second. Okay. Yep. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Jack, did we get you? Okay. Those opposed? None? Great. Fred, starting at the next tourism bid meeting, you're center chair. If you need any, if you have any questions or whatever.
I will.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. And Michelle, too.
Jack. We've just chaired and vice chaired quite often. Yay! It's good to pass the baton.
That's right. It's great to pass the baton.
Okay. Wonderful. I'm very excited.
Yay! Congratulations. Yep, we still need a vice chair. We're moving on to that. And so, would you be interested in sitting another year as vice chair?
No. I think since Fred's going to be the new person at this, maybe someone more experienced in board matters.
I think that Michelle would be great at it.
You don't want to do it, Joan?
I hear a motion for Michelle to be vice chair.
I make a motion that Michelle is the vice chair. I mean, she just stated that she's oftentimes been vice chair with him for things, so that sounds like a great combination.
You don't want a vice chair, Joan?
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Great. We have a motion to second, and so let's discuss it. Michelle, do you accept that nomination?
Brent's here. Yeah, you know, I'll accept it. I really didn't want to get those. We're not volunteering.
This is the T-bid.
Yeah.
This is the T-bid.
Yeah.
These are quarterly meetings.
Yeah. No, I can vice chair. I'll vice chair.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. We have the accepting of that nomination. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. None. Great. Michelle, did you say aye?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. I didn't hear the harmony of the girls. You boys are drowning us out. Okay, so we have Fred Reed as chair and Michelle as vice chair. Great. Everybody get that? We're moving on then to number 7. TBID bylaw change recommendation process. Review and amend the motion as necessary from the May 11, 2015 meeting, motion to update the bylaws to reflect that 5 ex officio directors shall be representatives of the lodging businesses, paying the district assessment to ex officio at large directors, shall be residents and registered voters of Morro Bay. The remaining non-ex officio directors shall be representatives of lodging, restaurants, retail, or recreation businesses in the city of Morro Bay. So since we made this motion, there's been quite a bit of discussion that's occurred between the Tourism Bureau, the TBID, and the City of Morro Bay. So because we mirror each other, I'm going to kind of... We have two separate sets of bylaws. They are reflective of each other. But in terms of... I can give you a little history on what happened here. We made this motion back on May 11th. On May 18th, I believe... It may have been May 20th, there was a special city council meeting to seat board members. And at that time, we had not, and the reason why we made this motion is because we had not, the last two times that we had openings, we had not been able to fill them. So we were having a gap in being able to fill the narrowed, I don't know if you remember this, the narrowed positions. 23 are under, 22 are under rooms, 22 are over rooms, 50 or more rooms. We had these very small segments. And what we were looking at was that in our hotelier community, we have 35 hotels, 37 hotels now that are, well, 37 hotels and vacation rentals being assessed. And in that narrow hotelier, they're doing the breakfast, they're doing the laundry, they're doing the guest rooms every day. They're not going to come out of their units to be able to do something like this, which takes up quite a bit of time. They do chat with us about things, but they're unable sometimes to pull themselves out of their unit. This board is unique in terms of how we fill the position. We don't have 10,000 residents to choose from. At that meeting, I stepped forward and explained that we had a bylaw change coming forward back to City Council. Our bylaws need to be approved by City Council like any other advisory board. And said that basically that we had made a change to try and broaden the field. It doesn't mean that somebody with one room can't apply. Doesn't mean that somebody with two rooms can't apply. Doesn't mean that somebody with 5 rooms can't apply or somebody with 15 rooms or 20. If you have someone who can fill a position who does have 5 rooms and the position on our board that's open says 50 rooms or more, you have a good volunteer there who you're saying no to. And that's what we were trying to avoid, was saying no to the volunteers. That's the only premise that was behind this when we took the vote. But somehow we got wonky in our process, and so we're back here looking at it again so that we can make sure that we get that clarified and get, if we still want to pass this motion, get that clarified and get the process moving in the right direction so we can get things done. So I'm going to open up for discussion now. I'm going to look to Fred and go this way.
Is there a way we can word the bylaws to say that a first preference would be given to somebody from everyone in the board understands the value and importance of the smaller properties, I think it's also important to make sure that with their busy schedule and inability a lot of times to get here for meetings and participate, that they still have feel like they have a voice. So could it be worded in a way that we said first preference would be to anybody applying for a smaller property and keeping that person on the board, and only after none had applied that we would open it up?
No, I was going to say that's a really good suggestion. And I do, you know, the last couple of times that there's been openings, and, you know, I know Jane came up and said, I can attest personally, I called North Morro Bay. There was one property in particular I thought we just about had to apply for the board, and they pulled out. So I do know that I tried really hard to get some of the smaller properties and some of the North Morro Bay make the sale. It just didn't quite happen. And so I agree with you, Fred. I think it'd be nice. I mean, we'd like to have a good mix of people, but if they're not there, we need to have hoteliers on here. So, it's almost kind of like, you know, this is the first preference. This is what happens. You know, I don't know exactly how to word that, but I like that idea because I do want them to feel represented. I want them to feel like they have a voice up here. But if we can't get them to come, we can't get them to come. I mean, you know, that I don't want to see us not have people on just because we can't get a small hotel.
I just feel it's really important, though, that we keep trying to get those small hoteliers on here. It just, to me, I'm not a hotelier, but I am a one-person operation, and I make time to be here. And I just would like to see more of an effort made.
Up to June, I had the small hotel represented when I had the Pleasant, and Aaron's in the audience today. The Graves family purchased the Pleasant, so I actually had the small hotel, the second smallest hotel that's ever been represented on the board. Valerie had the smallest when she was here with Front Street Inn and Spa. And I agree. I think Fred has a terrific way of doing that. We could do three positions at large, maybe, which would totally open it up, and then hold one position with a preference for smaller, and hold one position for a preference for the larger side, giving preference. But exactly how that would be worded, that maybe Sam can help us with the motion so we don't go wonky on process again.
Discussion process, this is wonderful, and it needs to happen. Our concern was the process. We had a wonderful meeting with Brent and the chairperson recently to kind of go over that. There's kind of two things here, and it's because there's two sets of bylaws. There's the advisory board rules that the tourism, that the TBID must follow, and then there are the bylaws of the Tourism Bureau itself. The advisory board rules for the city obviously control the body that is meeting right now. Those must be modified. We do have a lot of advisory boards that all meet at night. So this is a good time to be having this discussion. It's actually perfect. On the flip side, the Tourism Bureau bylaws also contain a section, an article on membership and the formation of the board. And they are designed or intended to mirror one another. The problem that we get into in terms of technicalities, and that's really what this is, it's kind of a bureaucratic issue, is that Article 12 of your bylaws explicitly state that the bylaws of the Tourism Bureau, not the TBID, but the bylaws of the Tourism Bureau also related to specifically just to the section on the membership makeup, the organization, that also must be approved by the City Council, likely because we're trying to mirror. When we had the meeting, one suggestion I had was, and you're going to discuss this at your Tourism Bureau meeting as well, it might be beneficial so that we don't have to kind of jump through two hoops to modify the Tourism Bureau bylaws, the article on membership, to basically say Section 1, we can have 7 to 11. If you want to keep doing that, you're going to have a discussion about that, about whether or not you want to continue to go up to 7, 11, because we've never done that. Section 2, whatever the makeup of the board is other than Section 1 will be mirrored in the advisory board rules. So you only have to change one thing. You change the advisory board rules, it's now mirrored in the bylaws, so it keeps it really clean. So I wanted to talk about that. We'll talk about that at the next meeting as well. Related to the motion, that's actually a fantastic idea. I think that the council will be receptive to that. the way I would say it is actually very similar to the way you said it, you know, that the motion is to make a modification to the TBID advisory board rules, that the members that are not at large, you know, may be selected in this format, with preference given to smaller, whatever that level, under 20, you know, with preference given to under 22, should no one step forward in the application process, it may be opened up to an at-large process, something in that format. And that might be the way you do it. Probably we would accept applications at the city. We would check those, and if you know, we may, they're one of two things. Either we're going to receive applications from maybe someone bigger than that, and we don't receive something from someone smaller, we can just bring, we can say we didn't receive it and bring that forward to council. Or you're going to receive more. The hope is always more. The reality is that typically does not happen. you'll receive more than that from both small and large, and then obviously the preference would be given to that small person moving forward. And what the struggle you're going through, it's very, very difficult. So from my professional experience, I think this makes perfect sense to really try to open it up to have a diverse body and diverse options for you to make sure that we can fill this body. It's so crucial. We just reviewed a report showing how crucial this body is. We want more voices, not less, and that's what you're actually trying to do. So, I mean, this is very, you know, you should be applauded for the discussion you're having. You're trying to have more discussion.
Okay. I think Michelle's ready to make a motion. Is that okay, or does anybody have any more questions for Sam?
I wanted to say exactly what
I just
Sam
want to
said.
Make sure. Okay.
Any other discussion? Okay. I'll make a motion of just exactly what Fred said. We will give preference to, I don't know if it's 23 or under.
I actually wrote down what Sam said. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
And then you can.
Yep.
Okay. So rear or less rooms, one member giving preference to 50 or larger rooms, 50 or more rooms.
So moved with that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None.
Great. Motion carries.
Now we, do we look now at the remaining part of that motion, Sam, that talks about the remaining non-ex officio director? What we tried to do was make it, we just dropped that. We dropped it, so I just want to. So Brent, and as Michelle pointed out, we've been doing outreach for the last couple of times to try and find hoteliers who can step forward. We did speak multiple times to a hotelier in North Morro Bay, thought that they were going to be able to do it, and then there was a significant change at the property, which made that not come true. We did talk to smaller hoteliers. We pretty much get out there and talk to everyone, let them know, invite them, made personal phone calls to some larger hoteliers. Fred filled that position. I think, did one of us speak to you prior to you? One or more of us come speak to you?
Yeah, I had a number of people speak to me about it. So,
and here he is. So the number one reason why people volunteer for anything, does anybody know what that reason is? They get.
I would not have participated had I not.
That's right.
So their arms twisted.
We need to be out there asking, and we need a task force to do it. So, you know, we're looking to create a task force to develop, and we can use two because we don't want to violate the Brown Act, right? But you know, I'm trying to be. You know, it is kind of an organic feeling if we allow those two to do it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, from the volunteer point of view, I think it does make more sense to have hoteliers asking other hoteliers to come on the board than, like, this, you know, me, like, what am I going to say to a hotelier? I don't own a hotel. I'm a gardener.
Which is exactly why you'd be great to do it, because you would tell them that it doesn't take, you don't have to be an expert in it. This is the only, I loved where Joan's going, and I get that. What worries me is I have been trying. Like, I'm not successful. I have tried probably six different people that I have begged and taken to lunch and turned their, please, please, and they won't do it. So I feel like I've tried quite a bit already without being on a task force, and I'm not a good saleswoman, obviously.
How about a one-on-one, one non-hotelier, one hotelier? Because what that does is it creates a balance of, look, this is important to the hoteliers, but this is also very important to the community. And you're stepping forward. You know, everyone loves this saying in Morro Bay, a rising tide lifts all boats. You know, if we have that balance between the resident and the hotelier, you know, I'm feeling Fred and Jack or Taylor. I really do feel that that would work.
And we do have a couple of interested parties, so it could be a really quick...
I would volunteer for that.
I'm happy to also.
Thank you, gentlemen. So I'm hearing a motion that we create a task force with Fred and Taylor representing us to go seek task force to outreach to develop interest in the open TBID positions with Fred and Taylor.
How many open positions do we have right now? Okay.
Both hoteliers.
Okay.
Do I hear a second on that?
Oh, I'll second.
Fred's seconding it. Okay. All in favor? Or more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? None. Thank you very much.
Yep. And I really, really believe in that. This community does not prosper without the work you do. My job at the city, I do several things. Obviously, I manage IT. I manage recreation services. I do the city's communications. And then I do economic development. In terms of economic development, I say this all the time. I told Joan about this as well, but I always look at it as a three-legged stool, and that stool involves both internal economic development, and that from the geeky standpoint, that's called BRE, business retention and expansion. It's where you work to help prop up your existing business community, hotels, retail, everyone. Then you have external, that's related to recruitment. And you usually work in partnership with a chamber of commerce to do that, as well as other outside entities. Both internal and external can be benefited by small business development centers, stuff like that. In Morro Bay, we have a third leg, and that's tourism. It's so big here, it's got to be its own thing. And it's part of any strategic plan, but it's its own part of that strategic plan. And so I'm glad I have that belief because it really matches, I guess, what's going on in the city of Morro Bay. Before I got here, the city council adopted 73 goals for the city and for staff to work on. Section six of the goals is related to economic development. And one of the goals that they outlined and requested staff to work on is 6G, Chamber of Commerce Tourism Bureau Relationships. And it states, evaluate, analyze, and present to council alternate models for partnerships between the city and both the Chamber of Commerce and the Morro Bay Tourism Board. So with that in mind, kind of the direction I've been given and what I'm working on with the city manager is we're doing the work that we've been asked to do by the city council. We're going out and we're looking at what are the various ways that we can conduct tourism marketing and promotions in Morro Bay on behalf of the community. And that can involve many things. It can involve just leaving the model as is. We currently have basically a relationship with an independent contractor, the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau, for tourism marketing and promotions. The way that the agreement works between us is literally all of the money related to TBID assessment, when we get it, immediately goes to the Tourism Bureau. Another model is the model that you see in other jurisdictions around SLO County. They typically, it's more internalized at the city level. They do one of two things. They either have direct staff related to tourism on staff, or they contract with an outside entity for that staffer. So it's not a full bureau, but it's still a contracted model. So over the next two months or so, we're kind of investigating both county models, statewide models, national models, and we've been asked by the council, obviously, to present to council various models for them to have discussion. With that in mind, with the communication aspect in mind, I wanted to bring that here so that you could share your thoughts as we move forward. Obviously, we haven't done the whole investigation yet, so I have nothing fully to report to you. We obviously know there are other models in the county. They seem to be successful. We know that we have a model here. It's successful as well. And so I guess I'm kind of coming to you say, here's what we're doing. Do you have any thoughts moving forward about all of those models? If you have a preference, if you'd like to remain the way the way we are, if you think we should just keep investigating and bring that to council. But I kind of defer to you. You are the advisory body for the council, so it is beneficial for you to have that discussion, bring this to them. So I would definitely welcome a discussion of this at a future Tourism Bureau meeting to have discussion about it prior to coming to council. So I'm hopeful that we can, in September, I can bring some more information to you about what we've done and looked at and what we're going to report, and we can have an additional discussion prior to bring it to council.
We'll start down on with Taylor. Taylor has a comment. He's jumping in.
I had two specific comments, Sam. The first one, I have a really good friend who's on the council, and we talk about a lot of things. And one of the things that I recently was talking to him about was the discussion of the visitor center, and how I felt, because I have a very neutral position on this board. For me, that's how I feel I am. And from what I was discussing with him was that I didn't feel like I had time with the data given to me to do what he wanted, what he was expecting. Understood my point of view on that. And I think it's related to what you were saying about the quarterly meetings. So if you expect me to look at something, discuss it, and then give a report back on it, but the due date's last month, well, then how am I supposed to do that? And that was kind of the position I felt like I was in on that. And that was my response to him, why my vote was to not give a response, because I felt like I wasn't able to give a response. The second point I wanted to make was when it comes to communication, I had brought up, you know, like what we were going to be discussing today, and how I feel like communication is so key, especially in our city that loves to jump into a bloody drama ring for some reason. Which is part of why I love living here, to be honest. I'm Irish. Anyways, and I was pointing out that communication and having a full board, all those things prevent drama. And he brought up, well, you know, we have a city council. Well, who is that? And it's John Heading. But I made the point, like, I haven't seen John Heading at any of the meetings. So, like, the communication, that level of communication is already existing, but it's not being used to the greatest extent, right? So, like, if we're going to add communication, add discussion, well, at least let's make sure that we're doing what we already said we're doing, right? You know, like, if John Heading is the current council member that's our contact, well, I've never talked to him before, personally, and I haven't seen him at these meetings that I come to. So that level of communication should be happening, is my response on that. And that was the two things that I
guess to make decisions or provide feedback, and he's concerned that sharing his thoughts will influence future discussions with the council. So his preference is to meet one-on-one with the chairperson to make sure that they're on the same page, that they're communicating back and forth, and then that information is translated or given back to the body. You may not agree with that model, but that's what his model is, and I'm just reporting that to you. So I understand his perspective. I will say also that I'm also here for that reason. You know, there's kind of been an 18-month state of flux here in terms of staffing, and I've only been here for a short time, but my job is to work on the relationship here and to provide communication back to you at a professional level with city staff.
Jack?
Just real quick, Sam, could it be required that the city council liaison attend these meetings?
I can't answer that from a legal perspective, because that's immediately where my head goes, is what legally can we require? It's not typically required to have a physical presence at an advisory body meeting. To be liaison, liaison formats are different by jurisdiction.
Okay, thanks.
Doesn't matter. Fred?
I'm not at all clear on what you're asking us to take an opinion on as far as the models of the TBID and everything like that. I know that there are a ton of different models that we can use. I think our model has been successful, but I think there has to be a lot of clarification if we're deciding to change what the bylaws and structure and everything like that is. So I guess I don't.
So based on your experience, how did that go for them? You know, stuff like that's what I'm looking at. We're not looking at to change necessarily the bylaws of the TBID itself. The TBID will always remain in place, regardless of the format. There will always be a TBID to be the advisory body for the city council. That's required by state law. And so the question we're looking at is, within that model of having a TBID itself, that collection body for those community funds, and having an advisory body to the city council, how should, moving forward, the council has asked us to say, what models are there related to conducting tourism marketing promotions itself? Does that make more sense? So the way we do it here is we take all that money and we give it to a contracting organization, and they conduct tourism marketing promotions on our behalf. The way it's done in other jurisdictions is they collect that funding and they expend those funds simply as the city, based on recommendations from their advisory body and with their professional tourism staff, that's city staff. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I know the way that it was set up in Paso Robles was considerably different than here. It's more market, and as far as the level of revenues they have that are night and day different than what our goals would really be. So I guess what they're really asking is to assess our model versus other models. I would personally say that our model is very strong for the assets we have an opportunity to manage. And I don't know that I would say hiring an outside sales staff or hiring a marketing company or doing any other kind of things at this point would be the right way to go. But it's... But it probably takes some more thought than I've given to it so far sitting here, just to be fair. So
I've lived through some different models here in Morro Bay. When the TBID was just formed, and Joan and I can attest to the history, we met monthly, and there was city staff that sat here and did our meetings every month. And city staff at that time had recommended we go to nonprofit and have the bureau. So what I think, this is a huge, we did a ton of research. We did a ton of calling around different, I mean, I think John Myers did 17, him and Homer had done this huge project and talked to like 17 cities that were similar in size and similar in hotels. I would love to see maybe a subcommittee to work with Brent and a few people off this board to work with the city, because there's a ton of research. What I see frustrated is it's just like with what the visitor center. We've done research. We've done workshops. We've done these things already. And I feel like here we are again, going back to stuff. The data's there. We've already done a bunch of this stuff. That's why we went to the model we went to, is because we had researched a bunch and that was the direction we were given. I get it. That was, and you would run across the stall time. Okay. We need this deadline by here, but we didn't meet until later, kind of like what you're talking about. So there was a reason we went to nonprofit. There was a reason we went to this model. I think this is a big thing to discuss right now. I think it's something that is obviously over time going to need to be discussed. I don't know. It sounds like he said we have 2 months, but we've done a lot of this research already. That's why we went to the Bureau. So I think we need to get that information into Sam's, hands. And I ditto what Taylor's saying. We need communication. And I will say, and I've been meaning to send you an email, I appreciate that you're here. This helps us do our jobs. I've said we've been for a while being told we don't have a boss telling us what to do. We're just doing the best we can without anybody telling us what direction to go in. So I think communication is key to any success. If we don't have bombarded by all of the five of us and we're going to beat them up, then call us individually. I've welcomed that several times. He's in a situation. He's a political, I understand he maybe feels like whatever he says on here is going to be, it's on camera and maybe it's going to be turned politically or whatever. I understand that. That's hard. He's his own person. And saying, if she had concerns. So I do miss that communication. It was really valuable. I don't think I realized how much I missed it till she was gone. I probably didn't tell her thank you for being there, because we just assumed she was there. And then when the liaisons moved, it did change. There was a lack of communication from this board to the city. Obviously, Sam, you've been filling that position, so that's been helpful. But I do think that, What concerns me is to go back in time again and to go back to an old model that we did. We lived it for 2 years, the old model. And there was a reason why we changed that model. Was it, well, 18 years. But I meant before the T-bid. The T-bid lived it for 2 years. And within that 2 years, we made some changes. There was one point where Chamber of Commerce had a vote. There was one point where city manager was always, so we've had, even in that 2 years, we did a few different tweaks, and then we went to this new model of the Bureau. So I do think, you know, I understand council maybe needs a little understanding of what did work and didn't work. I always think it's good to look at what we're doing and evaluate that. I think that's important, and that's welcomed. I just don't like it when we make decisions without, but I think we need to make a smart decision when we make change. And I think that was everything that I have to say. But I do think maybe a subcommittee would be a good way of going about that. Or maybe just some individual conversations one-on-one, too, might not be a bad idea. But I do know we've went down this road a couple of times.
And I would love to have those one-on-one conversations. Absolutely.
So for me, we spent, you know, we have had, I guess we've had a lot of workshops and a lot of research done on the backs of a volunteer board. There were times, just as an FYI, Sam, where there were members of this board who spent 60 hours a week in their business and another 30 hours a week on this business, which is now an actual functioning, running small business contributing to the, it's a nonprofit small business contributing to the economy of Morro Bay, the Tourism Bureau. There are a number of different models, and I don't see where anything can't evolve. And I agree with Michelle that change just for the sake of change is not always good, but change for an evolution and to create a more, to create more compression. And if the ultimate goal is a revenue stream for the city versus a revenue stream for the community, we need to understand that as well. We had, for 18 years, a model where there was city council, advisory board, city council, city staff, contract with a marketing firm for 18 years. For 18 years, we could not break, could not, even in economic boom times, could not break that 50% occupancy mark. There were other times in our economy over 18 or 20 years when there was an upswing in the economy. Yet, our model here in our community wasn't performing in line with those economy upticks. Now, in conjunction with the uptick in the economy, with coupled with city partnership and a more dynamic plan, those three legs of the stool coming together evolve further. I think there's two issues we're talking about here. One of them is the business model, and the other one is the communications model. I think there's a gap in people understanding how the evolution of the business model took place and how it has been good for Morro Bay versus the communications model, where we've had a gap in back and forth communication due to whatever types of changes went on at the city, and also the adjustment to the change of having a tourism bureau. I think it was largely felt by the city, although I can't speak for the city. Hey, they've got the tourism bureau now. They're on their own. They've got it. We don't need to deal with it. Then all of a sudden there was this domestic economy has pushed up, and whatever the California economy has pushed up, I think we can look at those things and see where Morro Bay has pushed up. So those are things we can do. The other things we can do is provide you with some of the information that we have on other models in Morro Bay. We have, it's probably 3 years ago now, a large study that was done by former member Myers, who I believe is in Morro Bay today. Hopefully he's watching. He's hearing his ears ring today. Sandra, who was on the he was on the sales tax. I'm sorry, you're going to have to help me. There's a they reviewed the sales tax, Measure Q, on the Measure Q committee. Thank you, Michelle. On the Measure Q committee, and Jeff Eccles, who used to be on Harbor. He was on Harbor. And so they did a study independently to help us, because we couldn't get together because of the Brown Act, to help us figure out other models that were out there, and that's how we came up with the model that we came up with. I would personally say, and I've got other hoteliers in the room, and so I'm going to put my reflective hands up again. I would personally say that if we were to change the model in order to strengthen the model and to drive the economy further, we should look at moving from the 89 Act, which is a year by year by year, which would ease pressure on the city of Morro Bay, ease pressure on the Tourism Bureau, and ease pressure on the TBID itself. It just starts to take some of the bureaucracy off of the top. That's one model I think we should look at. But certainly, I think that, you know, you pointing out that we looked at a report that shows how important the performance of what's going on here is to the community in general, how important it should be to the residents. And, you know, can we evolve to strengthen that? I think that we can in partnership, but I think it's also going to take some significant communication because, you know, it's an equal partnership in terms of vote, meaning it's an equal partnership for the city and an equal partnership for the hoteliers on whether this thing goes every year. And so we need to understand that that's a level playing field for all of us, and in that we need to have strong communication. So the communication factor and then the model, the business model factor, I think are two separate things, but I think they're intertwined and connected. So we do need probably a coalition of people, but I would say too that it should probably be, it's going to have to be two folks on this board, but it's also would be good to probably ask some former board members who, you know, it wouldn't be breaking the Brown Act if we could put a team together with maybe a couple of former board members, maybe one of those folks who was involved in all those studies and workshops, Brent himself, possibly, and I don't want to speak for your busy schedule, Sam, but possibly someone from the city like Sam, and you know, go for sitting down and understand a 15-minute TBID meeting every month. Let's say that we go there so that we can, if there's something that needs to be a TBID meeting on the agenda, we can do that. We could possibly have them start simultaneous in terms of times on the agenda. And if there's nothing, we open the TBID meeting, close it, and open the Bureau meeting. I mean, it's a pretty simple solution to get to. I don't see that, but maybe I'm wonky in process. But I think that we could find a pretty simple solution to, you know, opening a meeting if there's nothing on the agenda or canceling a meeting, calling the meeting. So, you know, that's something we can talk to you about. And those are my personal thoughts. Yeah.
So just so I'm clear, right after you get me to volunteer to lead the meeting, so that there is something kind of troubling about a lot of this, where we start off the meeting and we discuss how much success we've had and how positive it's worked and everything like that. And we come in and we get to about 3/4 of the way through and we talk about changing everything. Like we're doing a lot of stuff wrong or we're not having success. So I will always be a little, I think it's important for this board to focus on what our goal is, and that's selling rooms. And I just question sometimes if we're spending all of our time doing that. So, in answer to your question, I think our model is successful. I think we've shown a lot of growth. I think there's, at this time, I don't have any reason to necessarily question it more than I would any other day of the week, where I would try to look for the best ways in everything. But I don't see a lot of evidence that that we need to restructure a lot of stuff right now, unless it comes in the form of communication with potentially monthly meetings. And I was only kidding. I don't mind chairing a monthly meeting or anything along those lines, or making sure that the city and board and everyone knows what we're doing and is comfortable with what we're doing. So
one last comment. When we went from TBID to Bureau, if you recall, we didn't even have to be on AGP. I was actually chair at the time. They had said no AGP, and I requested as chair so that there was good transparency and good communication that we continue to be televised by AGP, and we fitted the bill for that. So those are things where I feel like we've made a lot of trying to be transparent and trying to be open, and you know, and I get where Fred's, I feel like sometimes I get mixed signals of what we're not doing right, or, and I know you being here has helped even just in the last few months, and hopefully it will continue. And I know when I was chair and for budget processing last year, I felt that very hard, which is why I stepped down as chair and was nervous to get back on as vice chair, but I will. But that was why I stepped down as chair, as I said, I can't be in a job where I can't communicate with my boss, and I stepped down, and that's what we did. But I do think communication, we need to understand exactly what it is that's being wanted to help us help you type of mentality, or I mean you, meaning city, but.
Gentlemen.
Being somewhat new here and
I'm more on the positive end. Like for me, I'm a biologist by education, and it's all about numbers really to find the answers. And when I look at the numbers, what it shows me is that I'm spending $1 million to get, starting in 2013, 2014, an increase in my data of like $2 million, $3 million, you know, and that increase I'm seeing continue. So, you know, when I'm weighing that out, I'm saying, well, this is successful. So like when I hear people talking about like saving thousands of dollars, when we're comparing it to increasing the data this by millions, I don't think that's a great idea, but I also, there's another part of me that's not even really supposed to speak, but that's like, gosh, like my friends out there, you know, I don't want you guys to put yourselves in a position where, you know, you fail. And I just hope everybody always comes back to the history. I mean, right here on my little iPhone, I'm looking at, you know, millions of dollars increase right here. And then I'm looking at this budget that we just approved, which is just less than $1 million for something. Even if we changed it, we're still going to be spending money. You know what I mean? So it's like the numbers are there. And regardless of communication, regardless of drama, the numbers tell the truth. So if we could change it and increase those numbers, I think everybody would get on board. But is that a reality? I don't think so. And then going back, I think that the health of the system is always going to depend on communication.
This was a good discussion. Thank you so much.
So, you know, I agree with all of you. Constantly looking to increase the performance. And why is that? Because we know how important that is. This business, the business, Morro Bay Tourism Bureau business, the way it's contracted, the way we're set up, it is set up to get peak performance out of the dollars, because we looked at the 18-year performance and saw where the gaps and the weaknesses were and tried to focus this business to close those gaps. And that's what good business people do. And business is good for our community. Business is good. It's not the only thing in our community, but it is good for our community. And so I'm glad that we have this board. I'm glad we've done everything that Taylor just pointed out. And we need to, are we going to create a subcommittee to look at this? I think that's what would be working with the city on their report. I'm not sure how that works. Help me out.
I wasn't necessarily asking for a subcommittee, but I, if you feel that's valuable, that's welcomed. I think what I'm hoping to do is, as staff, provide you with some professional level of research and bring that back to you at your Tourism Bureau meeting in September, so that you can take a more robust look at this one more time. And I'm happy to gather all the data. I do have some of that. I believe I do have actually the report from Mr. Alexander and Eccles in particular, and I'm constantly looking at all of that right now. So that doesn't mean I have everything. So I would absolutely welcome people just throwing everything at me, and I'll keep parsing through it. Yes.
Well, and I guess maybe then what I would ask too is if you get in things, you know, maybe if you have questions, send them out.
I fully intend on having some one-on-one meetings with each of you. I've already sat down with Brent actually several times. I think one day we said, let's get together for 30 minutes, and we were together like 2.5 hours. So I love these discussions. It's very valuable. And I will say once again, the work you do is crucial and will always continue because the TBID is required and should be. We need a body to make recommendations to the council. I will say off the top of my head, I heard the thing about bureaucracy and red tape. I fully recognize that in the government world, oftentimes that happens, and partly it's necessary because it's our job to protect both individual rights and community taxpayer money. So with that in mind, I do think there are always ways that we can do better about that and have efficiencies. Part of that is ensuring that we have appropriate plans in place and, you know, councils saying yes to those and then let us hit the ground running. So that might be part of this discussion as I move forward is what you're saying. Are there ways we can continue to reduce bureaucracy to make sure that we're successful? Because what I'm hearing here is we know we're successful, but we want to be even more successful. And we want to do that in everything we do. So I fully agree with that. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll bombard you with old information. No, we won't bombard you. There's only a couple of things that you probably don't have, but we'll
sure.
make sure you
send it along.
Or whatever you need, send out.
Yep.
You can fish with all of us, and then we'll get you back whatever
Perfect.
It is that you're looking for.
Thank you.
Or fish through Brent, whatever works for you. Okay, terrific. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, so thank you for that discussion. Now we are on 10, designated city and city council liaisons. So here we go with another little subcommittee. Discussion to dedicate two board members to serve as liaisons to the city and the city council. I'll open it up for anyone who wants to volunteer. I think we're looking to have better communication. And so if you want to volunteer to work towards that goal, we'd be happy to hear it.
I'll volunteer for that.
It could be Michelle, but it could also be Fred. I know, you know, you have the largest hotel in town, so I don't want to overflood you. I want to be very have our board, not just me, but have our board be very conscientious of your time and what you can do. But as chair, because you'll be contacted, or maybe it's Michelle, because the chair and vice chair get the agendas and whatnot going together. So one of those two seem natural to me.
I certainly don't mind doing it. I don't know that I have the best perspective for it because I see myself getting frustrated sometimes with being told how we're supposed to spend our money. And so, so I don't know that I always have the best to be a liaison, and I'm not 100% sure on to what end we're working on being a liaison. Can you clarify that? And maybe I can.
This is not something that was recommended by the city, so I'm actually unclear. I was going to say it might be good to clarify the intent or role for the liaisons in terms of what you're hoping to communicate back to the city. I think that we're definitely intent, especially with me being here, making sure that we have a good connection. Like I said, I'm trying to meet with Brent, and I do want to meet with all of you as well. So if you want to add additional liaisons, that's absolutely your decision, but it would be good to define kind of that role.
My question is, if this wasn't what council wanted and this is our idea, because we're feeling like a lack of communication? So, like, from my point of view, is our board coming up with this idea to be because we haven't talked to John Heading, let's say, or because you just started? I mean, this is the second meeting that I've seen you at. You know what I mean? So is this coming from that? And going back to what I said in this previous conversation, number 9, is the lack of communication the problem? And so therefore, like, if the staff, you, bureaucracy, and council – sorry, I didn't mean that as a negative – I'm so glad you do that job and not me. And anyways, if staff and council want more communication from us, this would be a great solution. But if it's not needed and really all we need is you doing the job that not, you're now doing and John Heading doing what his job is or whatever, that would be – you see where I'm weighing that out right now?
Okay. I'd like to chime in. So as far as like communication, we do a lot of email communication, especially with city and council. Unfortunately, council gets inundated. I mean, I have not asked, but I can't even imagine how many emails that they receive on a regular basis. So it was really kind of, I'm requesting that because I feel like there needs to be a better connection between our board and council. And I think that really has to be a lot of face-to-face conversations or phone conversations and updating on what's actually happening on a TBID level. Because we are transparent about what we're doing, but we're doing it on an electronic communication. You know, we are reporting quarterly, but oftentimes there needs to be a little bit more communication. So council understands a little bit more about what the board is doing and what the Tourism Bureau is actually trying to accomplish as far as like growing business here in Morro Bay. So it was really from sitting down with Sam, it's really a request from me. Because they hear from me, but they don't hear from you guys. Advisory board, that council hears from you, not always specifically from me.
Okay, so we're full circle. And we could, Brent, would it work to have you pick a point person on, no, I was going to say on topic to discuss a topic with the council, and that way it wouldn't put all the, yeah.
You know, Fred said earlier, you know, he would get frustrated. And that's, you know, I'm going to be just honest. Like, I feel like I've kind of burnt my bridge with this council. I mean, I don't want to go in and be in a liaison and go in trying to, you know, maybe I haven't burnt the bridge as much as I thought. But I never mean it as a mean thing. I'm meaning it because this is what I do every day, and so I'm passionate about it. If anybody knows me, I do that with all kinds of things. If you see me on my son's baseball field, you can attest to that. So, you know, I don't mind trying it for a month or two because I know Fred's got a lot on his plate too now that he's taken chair. But I, you know, if we go into those meetings and I don't feel that they're being successful or if I'm making things worse than better, I want to be able to pull out at that point too. And maybe having that liaison at the beginning, I can say that, hey, you know, maybe I'm misunderstood once in a while or, you know, my passion doesn't mean to be mean. It's just when you get passionate, you sometimes don't have a filter. So, you know, I'll take it on with Jack and I'll attempt it. I just want to be very honest that Jack, if thank you. And that's what John Myers used to do. Call John Myers. He would know. Maybe don't give me one less of these for the morning, but, you know, I'll try it. I just want to be open to say, if I see myself getting too frustrated, Jack, don't be afraid to pull me by the arm and say, zip it. So, and we'll see where it goes. We may not need it with Sam being here and Fred doing chair. You know, maybe it won't be as cumbersome as we think, too.
And, you know, I'm not going to try and speak for Fred, but into their operating budgets. Now, I would say, unless I'm wrong and there's somebody out there, 99% to 100% do a pass-through. I understand that the city feels like that's their money. And I understand that the residents feel like it's a tax, even though, as I said earlier, it's an assessment district and it's a partnership between the city of Morro Bay and the hotels in a handshake. If that assessment district disappeared tomorrow, the revenue at every hotel would increase by the amount of that assessment district. Because room rate would go up. We hold room rate down knowing that the tax level is so high. And while there's conversation about, oh, you know, Morro Bay has a very low TOT at 10%, when other communities have 12 and 14% and 16% at Disneyland, or rather at Anaheim, Morro Bay's is very, very low. They never couple that with the assessment districts. And so together with the I can see where a hotelier would get frustrated trying to communicate that because, you know, we are passionate about it. We have been vocal about it. We, you know, that's how we see it. That doesn't mean that we don't see the other side of it, but we're sitting on a three-legged stool where we're an advisory board to the city, we're running our own properties, and we have the hoteliers talking to us on this other leg saying, don't lose track of what's going on. Don't lose track of the field goal. Punt that ball up there and get it over the top. You're using our money to do it. So we hear that from them, right? And that's where... Any other comment? And then we can move on. So, great. Okay, so we have our designated city council liaisons. Jack promises to talk Michelle off the cliff. Declaration of future agenda items? None now, but you can always send them to Fred over the next 2 months. Get your future agenda items to Fred. Okay. And the next TBID board meeting will be, unless we have an item come up, it will be in 3 months. But if there's an item that comes up that needs to be discussed, we can put it as we've discussed. We can have more meetings. We just can't have less. Is that right?
Correct. You can have a special meeting, and we would just notice that properly.
Okay. So we could always add a special meeting. And with that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. None? Let's take a 5-minute break between meetings. Everybody stretch. Seventh inning stretch. Oh, yeah? So I did. Out of their hole. It's Groundhog's Day. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, AGP. Welcome to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board meeting for Thursday, August 13th, 2015. It is following our regular scheduled TV.
Approve the June 11th Bureau minutes, 2015.
All second? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None? Great. Thank you. Number four, the Treasurer's Report, 2015-2016 Budget Review and Approval. And for that, am I turning over to you, Taylor?
Yes. Okay. What am I reporting on?
Just that, the amount was approved and it's been, yeah.
So the, you want me to report on the visitor carryover? Or are you... Great.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's Fred. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. Visitor Center update, report from the August 11, 2015 Morro Bay City Council meeting. And for that, I'll turn it over to Brent.
Thank you, Madam Chair. City Council made a final approval on actually giving the contract from the 255 Morro Bay Boulevard location over to the Harbor Street location. I wanted to also give you an update that we are looking at a specific timeline as far as an exit strategy from the current location over to the new location. I'm proposing operations actually happen with the visitor center through Monday, September 28th, 2015. We will be looking at doing communication going out to stakeholders beginning September 1st, letting them know of the closure and then the reopening. at the Chamber location. September 21st through the 25th, I'm having staff begin doing packing of the extra collateral. We're also going to be doing an inventory prior to that. Center will actually close on Tuesday, September 29th. We will do final packing, and then we are going to be hiring movers to be able to move the respective items from the location over to the Bureau and the Chamber, respectfully. Planning on doing signage removal and cleaning of the property on the 30th, and then doing a walkthrough with the landlord on September 30th. We do need to be out of the building by 10 p.m. On September 30th, and so we definitely wanted to have a timeline as far as exit strategy for that. Some of the items that I just had a meeting with the visitor center staff, and one of the items that actually came up, and Sam, I might actually have you get on mic here, but one of the requests from visitor center staff is to making sure that the banners that reflect on where the visitor center is located are actually changed on light poles through the city of Morro Bay.
Yeah, so as part of that, we obviously are going to be modifying all the signage in the city to reflect where the new visitor center is.
And just to let board know is that I've already been in conversation with Liz Gilson, who is the new director for the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce, to assure that there is going to be a smooth transition between the current location, the format of the report that's actually been happening up to this point with visitor center staff that we've been sharing with city. We do, again, want there to be a smooth transition because it's really ultimately about the customer experience, and we want to assure that the customer experience is going to be positive.
Thank you, Brent, for that report. Did anybody watch the city council meeting? There were some comments at public comment about the city having given $10,000. I think there was a comment made that it was 20, but it was actually 10.
I believe the comment was 10,000.
Okay,
I've been asked to look into that. I have not begun that yet.
Okay, so the city did give us $10,000 for tenant improvements. The tenant improvements included interior and exterior painting of the building. They included the paint and the contracted services, licensed contracted services. It included a complete redo of the sidewalk to create a handicap ramp and approach, and a level surface area for handicap public parking, including restriping of the lot, exterior lighting electrical improvements. It included the development of the signage and the build-out of the signs that are there. It was used for the creation of the exterior pocket park that the city had asked for. So we developed that exterior pocket park at quite a large expense of that money. So that's where that $10,000 went. And I don't know, I think just about the only thing that can... I don't know if it's legal or okay to pick up the pavers and move the pocket park. I don't know how that works. I really don't.
Part of it is we probably need to look at the lease to see whether or not the tenant improvements become the property of the property owner. That's pretty common when you make those modifications. And I just didn't want to chime into that meeting. I didn't think it was appropriate. But my assumption is that the agreement probably says that.
Yes.
It would be good to see that language.
I believe that it is.
Okay. So I'll just ask Brett to send that to me so I can confirm that and send that off to folks, to the council, and answer that question.
Their original signs, we kept those because the owner wanted us to, Sam, and they are original signs. They are behind the building. Those could actually be rehung, though, and you could take the signage with you because you would be leaving them with their original signs.
Sure. Okay. And so that's one we'll look into. Thank you.
I just wanted to give a list of what those things were. And there were probably, other small things in there. Oh, well, there was the landscaping. I completely forgot the landscaping had to be completely redone. There were 2-foot-high weeds on the whole lot. So, but some interesting pieces that are still there. There was a tree growing out of a rock that Taylor pointed out. So closed, and the visitor center is not open over at the other location. I believe that our staff will work diligently and we'll use the laser focus that we use for marketing towards helping the Chamber of Commerce to get their visitor center up and running, and I'm grateful for that. So very, very good staff here. We have a professional team, and I know that we have a professional team at the visitor center, and some of them will likely be carried over. So good for that. Anything else on that? Great. City partnership on electronic sign. This is number 6, Morro Bay T-Bid, potential partnership for research and development of an electric welcome sign for the Morro Bay City Park. And this came up in a conversation where Jack and Brent and I were having a meeting with Sam and David, and David Buckingham about something else, and somehow this topic came up. And we talked about the banners at City Park and how the city had a desire to change that. And we talked about how a lot of times we're using marketing dollars to pay for those banners, and we're constantly developing new banners, and they're very expensive to do locally. I guess other folks send them out, but we try and use local guys. And perhaps it would be better to develop a sign that is like the Los Osos Library, Michelle? You know where it has the electronic rotary rotating. Are you familiar with the Los Osos Library sign? So we want to bring that to the board to open up for discussion and see what you all
It's
thought.
Actually not at the library. It's at the corner of South Bay Boulevard and Los Osos Valley Road. When you come in, there's an electric sign that goes through. It's got the bear there with a little fountain. Yes, it's a I do believe rotary is in charge of that. So I think that's a great idea, because then I think somebody just has to go in and put what's there, and it just rotates through. So
I have a comment on that sign. You know, Limos, when they renovated Limos in town, they put in a fantastic digital sign, and they, although it was approved, then they had to retract the approval of the usage of it because they can't use it for what it's designed for. So they actually kind of wasted some of their money. I've actually heard from the guy who owns the place. But they have a fantastic digital sign, but they have problems with using it to its full potential because they got a bunch of complaints about the lighting and how it changes on traffic. So make sure you don't – I felt bad for him investing all that money in that awesome digital future age sign, but let's not do the same mistake.
There'd have to be a plan behind it. It's not like you just go out and throw a sign in and say, oh, look at our sign. You know, but there I think, Sam, you've put these signs in, or you've seen these signs, or
I literally
on these
ran
signs?
One in the last jurisdiction. Yeah, it was a partnership between the Chamber of Commerce and the city. We both partnered, put in some funding, and did that. And similarly, you know, when we did that, we already can capture stuff very quickly. You can actually, but yeah, Joan actually had kind of mentioned it when we were meeting to say, hey, what about this? I've been getting similar comments from members of the public. I just got an email the other day from someone saying, why not a digital reader board? So it's definitely on the minds of the community. I will say also that we have at least one community member who is adamantly opposed to the banners in the park. I think they feel it's visual clutter, that there's a better way to communicate with people. I do disagree with her a little bit in that for all the work I do as a communications person to enhance our digital presence, our online presence for social media and websites and that, there is a segment of society that simply will not have access to or has no interest in accessing information on Facebook or Twitter or the website. And our job should be able to reach as many people as possible, especially for community events. We want the community to come to those. And so those banners serve a fantastic purpose. Can we do it better? Absolutely. A digital sign may be the way to do that. So I think why we're bringing it here is there was some interest expressed maybe in a partnership in terms of expenditures on this. The first step should probably be we should go investigate what those are the folks who can share events. The way we did it in Vernail was interesting because it was a double partnership. We both had control over the sign. So the way I did it was I had control of it in the morning. So you log into a computer, basically, that's connected to that sign. But if someone else logged in at the same time, you got booted out. So I had control in the morning. Chamber had control in the afternoon. Inevitably, we both got contacted by the same groups throughout the community. Say, hey, will you put our thing up? And we were happy to do that. So it worked out really, really well. We just set a schedule. And the signs are just so valuable, not only for community events, for promotions and marketing of local things, but
for emergency preparedness as well. When we have an issue, we can put something up very quickly that looks different than the typical graphics you would have up, so people know we can communicate to them quickly about something they need to do.
My first question is, maybe I missed or wasn't here. Where are we talking about placing the sign? What's the direction of the sign? Is it simply marketing? Is it directed towards hotels? Are people going to be advertising on the sign, or are just we going to be in control of it? I guess I have a lot of questions.
And we don't have a lot of answers, which is, you know, I think we're not there yet. You know, I doubt that it'll have advertising on it because it's an actual city park. It's the location we have, which is Morro Bay Park, which is commonly referred to as City Park or Triangle Park. On Morro Bay Boulevard, you get off at the roundabout and you go down and there's the park on the right-hand side. And it's the main entry to the city. So if you're talking about, you know, can it benefit hotels? Well, yes, folks come in for events. And it's not a stretch to say that if you put 4th of July and the Harbor Festival and the kite show and the car show up there a month or 2 months out, people will be like, oh, I'm here for the car show, or I'm here for the kite festival. Man, I should come back for the car show. That's not a stretch, right? Morro Bay. But, you know, I don't know. There's no, there's not a lot of information. It's just, at this point, I think what we're looking at is, do we want to move forward with a direction to pursue this, to understand the full concept and what a partnership would look like in terms of dollars for us and where we would, you know, take those dollars from once we have those figures. I think that's where we're at, but go ahead.
And that's what I was going to say. I'm assuming Brent's just looking for direction as to, are we as a board interested in potentially partnering with the city on this? And I would say, I think it's I always look at the one in Los Osos. So I look to that as maybe just an example of one that is very effective and works well. You'll see a lot about concerts or, you know, they're having something at South Bay Community and you see it there and, you know, you drive by and you're sitting at the light and you see it. So for me personally, I would love to continue to let Brent and Sam work together to see what it would cost the board and what that partnership would look like. But I'm definitely game for the idea.
Yeah, for me, I love the idea. I think it's definitely where we need to be going. My two things would be, right now, we're talking about location and we're talking about type of sign. I think the type of sign is going to depend on viewing than the backside. And oftentimes those digital signs are two-sided. They're double-sided. So the reason we're currently putting banners there is because that's where you have mounting to put banners. So is that the best location, or is that just the only location we have places to put banner? For me, I have a problem with the middle of the roundabout because I feel like that's the key location in town, and we're on our fourth or fifth dead tree in the middle of that thing. I mean, right now you have a giant dead tree again, and why not stop putting a tree in spot? That's my comment.
I'm supportive of this idea. The one thing that I think we really will need to be looked at, and I'm sure it will, is choice of the sign, because a lot of times the electronic signs look really hokey. So, but I'm sure we could find a nice looking one.
I love the middle of the roundabout. That's where I was actually thinking when we started talking about it. It can be right. It can be multiple-sided and everything else like that, but I completely understand there's probably much more bureaucracy involved in that. So,
yeah, so just – this is so ridiculously geeky, but there are a lot of regulations related to transportation in general. It's usually at the federal level, so there are typically federal manuals on how you go about both building roundabouts and how you put stuff in the middle of roundabouts. They are designed for traffic calming. Typically what you'll see in communities, I would love to do this here, a lot of art installations inside roundabouts. They're not moving, and that's the trick, but they're stationary. Maybe they have moving parts. I've seen the city I'm from, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, is a very tourist-driven city. Almost every roundabout has an art installation in it, from flowers that are built also to look like umbrellas at the top of the flower to, I think one of them, this might be in a park, but a big, long, strategically placed aluminum dandelions that kind of wave just gently in the breeze. That's the most movement you'll get. But they're not fully moving. They do catch your eye, though, so it causes you to slow down. And that's the trick of they just stop people from dying. That's the biggest issue with the roundabout. They also are very good for the environment. The more you idle at a light, the worse it is. So that might be different. That's not to say we can't put one to the side of the roundabout, So what I'm hearing is it might be beneficial, though, to at least investigate numerous locations, not just necessarily City Park, and I think that's valuable. I wanted to respond to one thing about whether or not this benefits hotels, and I appreciate the perspective. I would say that what the Tourism Bureau does on behalf of the city in terms of TBID expenditures, it's not just – the law does call for ensuring that we're helping bring people to our city for lodging. At the same time, the law also says that we can expend money on general tourism promotion because the idea is destination promotion. Hopefully what we're doing is we're building Morro Bay as an awesome place to always be. So it's not necessarily like, well, I go here because of this hotel. I go here because it's Morro Bay, and I'm going to stay at a hotel. But then it's first come, first serve, and it's going to cause some – the drama we've been discussing in the city – we'll go to signage. And so maybe a professional digital sign where everyone still has an opportunity to participate could be beneficial. And I think a lot of people do come here for events. And even if they're not coming here for that explicit event, being able to promote that destination and the events that are here while they're here staying at one of your lodging destinations will be nice for them. They can say, well, I know that I haven't heard about it, but if I go drive by that sign, I'm going to find out what's happening this weekend. So.
Okay, so we're back to the middle, and so I would say that there's pretty much a consensus here to ask Brent to work with city staff to bring back some solid information about A, location, B, budget, right? B, budget, and C, any other, I guess, benefits that, you know, a list of benefits to the lodging community and to the community in general, because, of course, we are accountable. Even under that, we have a portion of this to compress the destination that's important to the hoteliers, and we have to report to them in our annual report. And, you know, we don't want to just say, well, we put a sign up for the city. We need to show how that does benefit them. And so we need to make sure that it does, and that's Brent's job to bring us back that information. So, Brent, if you'd, I guess, work on that. Is everyone good with that? And bring it back at a future agenda item when that appears. I'm not sure. It depends on how it goes. So with you all. So thank you very much. And moving on, we'll bring more information back on that. We are at number 7, retaining Citavis advisors for consulting services for the Morro Bay TBID for the fiscal year. And we have some new members on the board. Civitas is has been our legal representation of record. They are the firm that formed our TBID ordinance here in conjunction with the city. John Lambeth is the premier TBID guy in the nation, but definitely in California. I mean, he's pretty much the go-to guy for every state for TBIDs, for TBID and TBID information. And, you know, we are very, very fortunate in this community that we started our TBID when we did, and we have a great relationship with John because he now charges a lot more for his services. And we are fortunate to have him working on our behalf. We have several contracts this year that are likely going to need to be looked at. One of them is our contract with the city of Morro Bay, right? Other ones are contracts that are out there just in general that we do to have our day-to-day business done. And so we just need the board to understand that those fees will be associated in the budget and reflected in the budget. And we need a vote every year to retain a firm, or we need a vote to retain the firm. And so here we are.
I'll make a motion that we, I want to say continue, but I guess we retain Civitas as our legal advisor and consultant for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau.
For the fiscal year.
For the fiscal year of 2015-2016.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Okay, great. Thank you. Back at the motion review and discussion for recommendation. This is just in case somebody is catching this meeting for the first time right now and they didn't sit through the meeting earlier, we have to go back and have this discussion. This is a motion review, and it came up because there were some open positions on the board. We did hear public comment at our TBID meeting of former member Beeman, who's a hotel owner, who asked us not to make a not to lose the designation for smaller hotels. We are bringing this back because we had a little bit of wonkiness in the process. The motion was made by Member Solu, made a motion to amend the Morro Bay T-Bid Bylaws, Article 5, Section 2, at the April 9th, 2015 meeting by removing the following language: consisting of at least one director representing a lodging business with less than 22 rooms and at least one director representing a lodging business or businesses with 50 or more rooms cumulatively, and make the same recommendation to the Morro Bay T-Bid for adoption by the Morro Bay City Council. We have since made a new motion at our previous T-Bid, or at our T-Bid meeting just before this. At that meeting, we also discussed with Mr. Taylor that there's a portion of our set of Morro Bay Tourism Bureau bylaws that reads that reads that the remaining non-ex officio directors shall be representatives of lodging, restaurant, retail businesses in the city of Morro Bay. This means that this board could expand from its current five when it's full to seven, and then from its full seven to an 11-member body. Do we want to keep that language in there, or do we want to keep our working board at seven members and try and fill those seats? The additional members are, non-ex officio directors, and so they don't, from my understanding, they don't necessarily have to show up and vote here, but they can be on subcommittees and do a lot of work for the overall body. So let's open it up for discussion. We can read back the motion that we made at the TBID meeting, because this motion should likely reflect that directly, and then the separate issue is the additional members. Correct?
And then you also have the component about having council
approval. Right.
But changing the bylaws for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau.
Correct.
To take that language out. That was a recommendation, to take that language out, and having that the council has to approve of who can be on the board for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau.
Are you saying that was my recommendation?
Yes.
That was not my recommendation. I'm sorry. Let me clarify.
Yeah, if you can clarify.
I will. Sorry. I was probably confusing earlier. So you have a section. One section of your bylaws states that what the makeup of the body is. Another section, and I'm sorry I can't remember. I was trying to look for your bylaws online. I don't have it. Article 12 is the section that talks about how the city council must approve your makeup. I believe that section is important to leave in, because I think that's the reason why the city probably agreed to this format, is that they had oversight over the makeup of the body itself. What I'm recommending is the article specific to membership, I think, should be modified. One, you think in discussions with the chairperson and Brent, it sounded like, and I believe the city manager agreed with this, that if we've never appointed up to 11, it could be a perception issue that we're not going to the effort to do so. I don't agree with that. I think it's just very difficult to get people. We've had a discussion that we have this many hotels, only this many owners can even participate in the first place. It's just very difficult to recruit even a full board. So with that in mind, rather than keeping that language in, and maybe we just don't want to cause questions related to we're not putting in effort, because we absolutely are putting in effort to recruit people to these bodies. It may be beneficial to remove the up to 11, just say seven people, so that it matches the advisory board rules. And then on your section in membership, the other aspect would be simply to say, rather than calling out what the makeup is, just say it's mirrored to the advisory board rules for the T-bid. That way you never have to change this again. Whatever happens on the advisory board rules, will translate directly to yours. That's a policy question for you, but I think it's if you support that mirror, that's the cleanest way to go about it, because then you never have to deal with doing this bylaws change again.
Go ahead, Taylor.
I agree with what Sam just said. I think that sounds good, and I definitely don't know where 11 people would sit up here.
We'd go down to the floor and make a little round table, and then Fred would be King Henry VIII. Right? Start beheading people. I'm kidding. So back to where 11 people would sit, there's really, yeah, I agree with you. And we have made a lot of effort to get folks on this board. Your thoughts, Jack?
Turn on. I'm with Taylor, echoing Fred or Sam's comments. I see no reason for 11, and we should reflect what the T-bid is doing.
I agree. I think for paperwork side, let's just have it state in there that it mimics the BID, and then when we make a change, we make it on one spot, and it just carries over to the other. So I think that just seems very simple and easy and clean. And I remember when we set up the 11, because I remember lots of discussion. What the concept behind it was is that then you could get other people in the community to come on board and give input and feel that they were part, because we really wanted this to feel like it wasn't just the hoteliers board, because there was a lot of that slack. So that's where that came from, was because we were wanting to say, hey, we are wanting input from the whole entire community. This isn't just a hoteliers board, because we were getting a lot of that when we first formed. Still kind of do, but it was fear of that. So that was where that came about. Whether that stays or goes, I mean, I'm impartial either way. We're having a hard time getting 7, so I don't see us getting 11 anytime soon. But that was where that concept was, just so people understand why that was originally put there, because there was a lot of discussion about that. But I think right now we've seen committees be formed that have brought people outside of the board to do committees. So I think we can still use the community as needed without it having to necessarily be in the bylaws. So I'm okay with removing that if need be.
I'm good with mirroring, and I think 7 is as large as I'd like to see this get. So from my perspective, I'm on board with both.
Ditto. Okay, so I'm looking for a motion. Here we go, folks. I'm looking for a motion that the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board, that the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board bylaws reflect, hang on 1 second, because we need to talk about the specific section, right? And I believe it's Article 5, Section 2. That reflects the membership.
Yeah, so your motion probably would want to make a motion that states that you request that the City Council approve modification to Article 5, Section 2 of the Morro Bay bylaws, Morro Bay Tourism Bureau bylaws, that states membership shall be reflected from the Morro Bay TBID Advisory Board rules.
Okay. Can we just copy what Sam said and we agree?
So moved.
Aha.
A second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
None. Okay.
So the process moving forward is I will bring both the T-bid vote today and the Tourism Bureau vote right now to the City Council, hopefully at one of their most next upcoming meetings for our approval.
Okay, and let me ask you, that automatically then drops the ex officio 4 members. We don't have to address up to 11 members now.
If
any
they approve
longer.
That, correct.
Okay, great. Good. So that discussion is over. Thank you. Okay, moving along. Thank you very much, everyone. That gets us through number 8. Number 9, subcommittee meeting reports and recommendations, shoulder season mini menu campaigns, Michelle.
Mike. So what this is as you know, we met as some subcommittees. This was something that I think we were wanting to know if the board wants to see. I think everybody had a copy here on their table. If not, it was emailed in the packet. What this was is just seeing if the board, and this is a kind of, do we want to go in this direction? It was an opportunity to kind of get some marketing and promotions to the hotels directly. So this was just kind of a menu of some different items that the Bureau could assist the lodging properties with. Social media, e-marketing, digital advertising, print advertising, radio advertising, commercials, photography, videography, websites, memberships to certain organizations. So we're just kind of wanting to know if the board here is supportive to have the Bureau assist the lodging industry in some of these areas. And it's like a menu option. So, you know, I could say at my property, okay, I need help in this area, and then the Bureau would help support that campaign. One item.
So the Bureau would...
Up at the top it says up to three options.
The Bureau would provide a menu for each of the lodging properties for them to select what is going to most impact their company or their business, and they would be able to select based off of a menu of options because some properties do not need help in certain areas. And so we would also be open into if there are other opportunities that when we meet individually one-on-one with properties and saying, well, I really need help in this area, and it may or may not be on the list, but we would definitely consider. It's something that we want to do as a shoulder season type of campaign because we want there to be a bigger impact, and we want to be able to help individual properties. We're doing more destination marketing, but we're not doing things that are specific that impact a specific property, but we want to open this up to all properties.
If you remember last year, I think we did like the Paso Robles Wine Alliance. We had done some membership stuff as a whole organization. I think Brent, this year we were kind of talking about maybe doing, you know, I might need more help in one, you know, in website, and Joan might need help in digital advertising. And it's a way that the Bureau can help support what the Bureau is already doing and then back in the lodging in with that. So that was the concept behind it. It's kind of giving some direct benefit back.
Questions for?
Yeah, I have a question. So I love seeing this kind of idea. It seems like such a great use of the hotel. What to me is the hotel's money, hotelier's money. My question, though, to follow that up is, what's the cost of this? Are you increasing your?
No, we're looking at just doing it's a specific cost per property. We're looking at $500 per property.
So does that increase in our budget then?
No, it's actually included within the current budget.
Jack?
I'm good with that.
I don't know if I've seen the actual menu of different things. I really love the idea. There are a few things on here that I think are not only would benefit the individual properties, but would probably help all the properties combined. There are new things to the hotel industry, like social media. And we have a number of properties in this area that probably do not have the ability to necessarily manage their social media. And I've talked about this before because I handle at a property like mine, we have to manage social media. Otherwise, it would just be financially devastating to our property. But I think managing something like that, I'll just say it simply. If the reviews are better for all the small properties in town, the entire town's going to do better. So it's not only is it something that would help the individual property, but then as it grows, it starts exponentially helping all of us, and the tide gets higher. So do we have any issue with having too many things on this menu for people to choose from?
No, they would only be selecting from a shorter list from this.
Oh, okay.
If there's some things that they wanted to see happen, like for example, under membership, I'm not really privy sometimes on what memberships that, you know, properties are actually that they pay in every year. But, I mean, essentially we want the property to be able to select one item that is going to benefit them the most. And I think another big part of doing this campaign is an education and to provide them with tools. Because if you, say, a property wanted to set up an e-marketing program and they just don't know how to do it, we're going to be providing a little bit of the expertise on how to, like, set up a successful program and how to grow that program. Very similar with social media. Some people really understand social media. Some people don't. Sometimes they just need a little bit of the keys to, you know, keys to the safe to be able to understand how they can actually set it up and how they can build a program. So there's going to be a part of it is going to be an education as well, because $500 only goes so far, but we also do want to set up properties with successful programs and saying, you don't need to do something every day and successful, and giving them tools.
So I totally agree with this concept. I see where Fred is going. It not only is a singular direct benefit to the hotels, and we've talked a lot about giving benefits specifically to smaller unit hotels. You know, some of them likely have not had time or that kind of thing to set up programs such as this. It is also a direct benefit to the entire community, because as they...
Towards addressing some of the smaller hotels who feel like they're not represented. And this gives them the opportunity to be represented and to be promoted and help themselves promote their own properties.
I agree. I remember when we paid 50%, when we paid for the very first 1 year we paid for, and this is before there was Visit Slow, it was the VCB. We paid the VCB membership for all the hotels. And I got two emails from the little hoteliers, from the little, smaller than me, and I only had 12 rooms, smaller than me, saying, oh my gosh, I never could have been able to afford this. You guys are awesome for considering this and doing this for the hotels with our money. We appreciate it. So I think they're really going to dive into this. Good job, Brent, team, tourism, Michelle, good report. I'm looking for a motion to adopt the program, which is
Shoulder Season Mini Menu Campaign.
Right, thank you. I'm looking for a motion to adopt the program of the 2015-16 Shoulder Season Mini Menu Campaign.
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor? Or any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Great. Yay. So we've got one passed. And the personnel manual update. Da da da. I'm sure everybody printed that 28-page deal, right? No, I'm kidding. Since it is going to be a policy and procedure, I do recommend that you print it and keep it in your binder, because there is a section back there for policies of the Tourism Bureau. So I just wanted to point that out. You can keep it electronically or in that file, but it is nice to have it all in one place. We did make the changes of adding in sick leave. And actually, I think Fred has all the changes that... Fred, were you going to highlight this? Did you want to give this report?
I don't mind. I think the only things we really talked about were the sick leave and the stakeholders' corporate image protection policy, which I don't know. Brent, did this get in here, or is this still being discussed?
It's separate.
Okay. It's a separate issue?
Yeah, we did that, and then we also discussed, we cleaned up a little bit.
The only thing we made was to legally add the sick pay under the state of California rules that now apply. There was quite a bit of discussion, because there's multiple directions you can go with that. As you remember, you're doing one thing, I'm doing another at one of my hotels. I have another friend who's doing something different. The city is likely doing something else, but it all meets the rules and regulations. So we settled on the sick leave policy that you all read in here. The only other adjustment, we settled on all of these on the paid holidays like Christmas or the winter holiday, and the vacation eligibility schedule. We all agreed with that. And the legal holidays. And then the only other thing, and I can't pull it out. Jury duty didn't change. Sorry, there was one other thing. Oh, the mileage, right. We adjusted the mileage program to reflect the federal government guidelines on mileage.
One thing I noticed is it talks about visitor center, which we no longer have under our contract.
Well, we're actually currently under contract, so this will actually have to be amended after the contract is complete. But just, Madam Chair, just so everybody, you know, realizes, as far as like the sick leave, that it wasn't. We initially were going to do it on an accrual basis, and subcommittee changed that. And then you guys also recommended as far as like doing it on a calendar year versus fiscal year.
Correct.
And not anniversary date.
Correct. On a calendar year and not on a fiscal year. Everybody's got a different take on it, but it's easy. It just comes and it goes and it comes and it goes, and it goes right with the year and right in time and right in tide. This is the groundwork for that. So I'm looking for a motion, or I'll make a motion that we approve the personnel and policies procedures manual as presented.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? Okay, great.
So kind of next steps with that, now that you guys have you've approved, what I will have staff do is to read, review, and sign, knowing that they understand all of the policies and procedures. So that'll be the next step.
Great. Thank you for that. Okay. And we are at establishment of a good standing policy. And for that, we had a little subcommittee.
You can hand it over to me.
We had a party. And
this was not a part of the packet, but it was actually at your chair. It's important. As when I worked in Minneapolis, we actually had policies. We always want to make sure that, you know, things can actually go awry very quickly when it comes to if you have a partnership with XYZ company and that company has an oil spill on the coast, and all of a sudden your name is attached to that because you have an agreement or partnership. So we did want to establish a policy to where we would have the opportunity to be able to terminate an agreement or contract, et cetera, if it impacted us as an organization. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to get this to you guys ahead of time. So there is one at your place setting. I would love for you guys to get a chance to like take a little bit of time now to read it, review it. I don't think today we need to specifically approve it, but I think it would be wise for us to move ahead on getting a policy established. So I don't know if you guys have had a chance to like take a look at it, but please do get a chance to look at it. It is to retain, and we never want any agreement or partnership that we're entering to, again, kind of go awry that would actually impact us being able to do business with a specific company, whether it's a tour company or if there's a corporation coming in doing a meeting or corporate retreat. It can affect us in a lot of different ways. And so I think it's just really important for the board to take a look at this and to move towards and actually having a final policy that we can actually use for the future.
Okay, so I don't know if you had an opportunity to read it, anyone? Did everyone get a chance to read it right now? I'll open it up for questions back to Brent right now. Questions to Brent on this, on why he made whatever your questions are.
Brent, first of all, I want to apologize because I did in our meeting say that I would get you a draft of this, and I sent it out to my legal associate, and they did not get me anything back, so I apologize. I want to make sure I understand what this policy would be used for, and my thinking along the lines is, and I appreciate this, but my thinking along the lines of this is that a simple policy that says we can quit anytime we want, basically, seems like it would be a little, like, I don't know if we need to have a whole lot of, like, justifying damages and everything, because most of it is going to be stuff we're contributing to, right? Is that...
And that we actually help provide that language that needs to be within the agreement. And I think oftentimes, too, if you have language where you can say, well, we can quit at any time, the person that you're actually going into partnership with, they need to understand what that is. And so that's why I actually included all of those different points in there and saying we need to have that type of coverage to say if you're actually terminating an agreement, there has to be a reason why. And we have to be, I think we have to be very clear when we're going into these agreements on how they understand that what their actions or inactions or what might actually be happening on their end can actually impact us too when you're in a specific agreement.
My fear along these lines is that if in this clause it says any damaging act of partnership, that we say, okay, we're going to pull our support, and they go, whoa, you have to prove your damages first. And I don't want to get into this like ongoing thing, but especially if you're talking about something where we're just supporting an event or giving money to something, I don't think we have a lot of contracts, and we're volunteering to support some kind of event or something like that, then it seems to me that the clause could be or more one-sided or something like that. I mean, I don't want to hold it over someone's head, because I don't think we have any interest in all of a sudden saying, okay, we're going to support the festival, and then just to mess with you, we're going to pull our support out or anything. But it seems like having parts of this that may give them good standing to say, wait a second, you don't have any damages, you can't prove damages, continue to give us our money, kind of puts us in a legal.
Yeah, and there's actually no language in there that even states that we have to prove what the damages are. If you look at the last part of the actual policy, really kind of state, you know, it is under our discretion. Bureau, you know, executive director and board, that it's under our discretion.
So, Fred, are you good for now?
Oh, sure, I'm fine. I mean, I don't know I can't imagine how often it's going to be executed and how often anything's going to come up with it. It gives us a good out, and no, I don't have any more concerns. That's fine.
Michelle?
No, I mean, I think it's very, very intricate, which maybe it could be broader, but I'm fine with it. I mean, I would say I would turn it over to a legal counsel. I mean, I'm not a legal person, so when I look at this, I would ask my legal attorney to review it, because that's not my department. So that's where, to me, I mean, it's a little over my head of legalities to understand.
And we could have Civitas actually review that too.
Gentlemen?
I agree with Michelle. I mean, that's why I have an attorney. Yeah.
So I look at this, and I think I'm going to say this. We had a conversation. We were tasked, Fred and I, for being on a subcommittee to look at, and I think the name of the subcommittee, and now I have to jog my memory here, was the events. We were on a task force for a good standing policy for events, and I think it became a broad, this is a broader document that encompasses, for example, a contract. It encompasses contracts, and I think what the board was thinking when they first sent us out on our task, I can see where the communication is here, when you first sent us out on our task, I think the board was saying, look at the grants money that we're giving out and make sure that we have good standing with the events, and, you know, there's no problems, and can we have a policy that says, hey, event, you know, you can't be filing for bankruptcy and asking us for money too, you know, basic policy that way. And I think this document covers something broader than that. To me, you know, if we want to have I think we have to be careful, because the grant money that we've had the last two cycles has been provided by the City of Morro Bay. Prior to that, it was provided by the TBID board. I think we're going back to a place where we're going to discuss whether we put any monies aside for grants in this budget cycle. But with that, this is more of a contract. This seems to me to be geared more towards contracts and less towards that good. I would almost say this is an internal policy for that, but that the grants issue is separate and a little unrelated. I feel like it became a little more than what the intention was. Does that make sense? I think we probably need to, if we
be okay signing off with this, if the attorney has seen it and signed off on it, then I'd be comfortable. Right, and that's what I'd say. So what my direction would be and what I would like to see is reach out to Civitas. Hey, this is what we want to add to, you know, our contracts and to this and that. If he says that this looks legal, he's the legal legality, then I would be all for approving this and adding it to anything that needs to be done. But for me personally, because I'm not a legal expert, I would like to see it ran by, you know, our legal counsel just to be sure to protect the Bureau and to protect my vote.
I agree with those 2 cents.
I agree with Michelle, too. These type of documents make my eyes glaze over.
Yeah, and that's, I think, where we're all at this point. So, yep, back to you. We're going to go ahead and ping it back to you, I think. Is that right? We have consensus from the board to ping it back to you, ask Civitas to review it and return it to us as a future unfinished operational update. And for that, back to Brent.
Oops, back to me. All right. Well, we're going to go through this a little bit on a quick phase because I do see glazed donut actually happening up on the panel there. I know that you guys have had a chance to review, but Visitor Center, provided inquiries. That does include in-person as well as phone calls and emails. And so we started actually keeping track a little bit more closely as far as, like, the email communications. So you can definitely see the breakdown as far as, like, the referral categories. Big in things to do. Moving on as far as, like, the Morro Bay Visitor Center budget. We did a closeout of the year for 13-14, and we had a carryover of $23,178.86. City had a conversation with the city, and we're going to be using those funds to be able to carry out any of the expenses for July through the end of September. So we do have a healthy budget. This gives a little bit of a breakdown as far as that. You'll see that professional fees are a little bit on the higher end, but that's also to help out with making sure as far as, like, getting things, services removed, et cetera, that will actually need to happen at the current location. But just happy to say that we did do some savings as far as, like, for the city. A lot of it had to do with maintenance. It had to do with, staffing. It also had to do with collateral as well. So because we actually produced the new visitor guide, that actually reduced costs down between $8,000 to $9,000 that we actually incurred the previous year. So moving on, you guys actually did an approval of the budget, so I'm not going to go too much through this. But you can see the different breakdown. Again, the carryover with a lot of the that's related to projects that are still going to happen in 2015. 57% jump. In the number of sessions, 57% jump in users, and 33% jump in page views. Now, this does include both the desktop website as well as the mobile, because currently we actually have 2 separate sites within the new website project that will have 1 responsive website, thankfully. Looking at the motel-hotel receipts, I'm not going to go through this specifically with you because we did go through the TOT report in the TBID meeting, but I did want to highlight going a little bit further down. We had trailer park receipts was up 8%. This doesn't reflect June numbers. This is just July through May. And then you can see it was up as far as, like, tax. And then for the vacation rentals, we did see a huge jump in that. And that really has a lot to do with that the city went through the business audit, and there were actually a lot of vacation rentals that didn't have current business license. And so when you're seeing the 30%, well, close to 30% jump and 36% jump, it really is reflected with that. So giving a lot of applause to the city with going through that process. It was very painful, I know, with occupancy. September, November, and March always seem to kind of be the pain points. I am working with our agencies to make sure that we're working on promotions and also campaigns to be able to increase awareness and to also increase overnight rooms during those times. Moving forward, I have established tentatively with staff some goals, sales goals specific, you can actually see here that we have some year-to-date numbers when it comes to advertising partnerships. You can definitely take a look through here. I think what's really what we need to reflect on are in the bottom left-hand corner. We have established some goals as far as like the number of leads for the year, and right now we're at 12.5% towards that goal. We have estimated room nights. We're at 15% towards that goal. Economic impact is actually based off of ADR, so you're going to really see the number of estimated room nights and economic impact kind of go hand in hand as far as that. This is really the first establishment of doing sales goals for the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau. And so we are going to be looking at that. I'm going to have you guys look at that more closely at future meetings because, again, we've set up some tentative goals when it comes to, like, leads, room nights, economic impact. But we also want to increase – we also want to extend that – we're not really sure what that noise is. But we also want to extend that and really look at average overall occupancy and, you know, motel receipts, hotel receipts, et cetera. We want to establish goals for the organization, and we also want to establish goals that are related to each individual staff person within the Bureau. So, and we also do want to talk a little bit about how that's going to impact staff, staffing models, et cetera. So you can also see here, too, that we have on the right-hand column, we did launch the Morro Bay Adventure Pass May 1st of 2015. We want to keep track of this because this relates very much to overnight lodging. Part of the goals that we're trying to do is to extend the number of nights, the average nights going from 1.5 nights. We want to be able to extend that number. And having a product like this that we can definitely sell is a way in how we can actually extend that number. And so you can see here that we have some goals established when it comes to the sales of the Morro Bay Adventure Pass. We do have a breakdown of individual, couple, family, and we're also introducing a group pass as well. So this is specific to a new number as far as that. We also have some goals established when it comes to revenue. Because we do comp passes for media that come into the area, and we'll be taking those numbers out, so you'll be seeing a different reflection on that next month. But also, we do have 16,000 that we're looking at as far as like alternative revenue coming in. That does not include the Morro Bay Adventure Pass. We have 16,000. As you can see, we brought in $6,455 in advertising revenue to help offset the cost of the visitor guide. Our goal was 40%. Unfortunately, we didn't quite meet the goal. We're just a couple of percentage points under, but there were a lot of additional expenses when it came to creating the map of Morro Bay. So, but it is a great map, but we also want to be very transparent and reflective that the cost for the visitor guide was a little higher than expected because of that. So this next time around, we do want to at least meet or exceed the 40%, and that you have a copy of the current visitor guide, this hot off the press. So definitely take a look at that. Thanks to staff that for being able to do a distribution to all lodging. Moving forward, this is you're going to see on all of the staff reports, because you as board members need to understand where are the markets. If we need to change the markets, it's definitely a time to have that discussion. But our Tier 1 markets, these are in order of importance: Los Angeles, Central Valley, San Francisco, San Jose, San Diego. This is something that I continue to impress upon with our agencies. We have to keep going back to who are our markets, what are our goals. And whenever we're looking at any opportunity, it's always coming back to what are our markets, what are our goals. And so these are the Tier 1 markets that we're focusing in on in this fiscal year. These are the Tier 2, which actually relate more to more of a seasonal, with Sacramento, Phoenix, Reno, Las Vegas, and Houston. We don't have the budget to be able to reach out to these markets throughout the year. I mean, our Tier 1 markets are going to take up, and they're going to consume pretty much a good majority of the marketing budget. But that doesn't mean that there aren't opportunities as far as sales, because that's one thing that we are moving and we're gravitating towards. You know, when we're talking about markets here, report back to you, be able to supply us with information on their sales activities and when it was actually happening. This is also with the retail community and other attractions within the area. I saw definite patterns when it came to when these markets are actually coming to Morro Bay. And so these are actually reflecting the key times that we need to like reach out. Yes, Joan.
I'm sorry. I see that Phoenix is a tier two market, and
yes.
It was just announced in the newspaper that they're doing a complete renovation of the regional airport in San Luis Obispo, and they're going to be extending flights out, and they mentioned some of the flight areas. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've looked at any of those to be tier two markets for us, because the Phoenix is a connector. I don't know what the plan is with tier two. Can in terms of, is there any plan for expansion of those areas?
Tier two, we can definitely meeting with Visit San Luis Obispo County, and essentially when we're looking at the markets here, there's also going to be some opportunities as far as partnership and how we can actually co-op with Visit San Luis Obispo County. They are looking at Los Angeles and San Francisco and Central Valley, but it was also very interesting too is that they're also looking at Phoenix and Vegas as far as like some of their tier two markets. And so there is really going to be a great opportunity. So as you can see that we are very much aligned with what the county is also going to be doing with their marketing and sales effort. So I'm very excited to see that we had our plan set up prior to Visit San Luis Obispo County, and it's only because of timing. You know, they were able to secure the funding for the TMD, but they're also looking at the markets, they're looking at their data, and as you can see that we're very, very much aligned specifically with their data. We do have a little bit different, some different markets, too. And I think when we're looking at Texas, this was something that really popped up. I was extremely surprised in looking at the data and also talking to and doing research with the retail community. And also you can see it's reflected on the times and the time frame when we're going to be reaching out to these markets. Obviously, with some of the more warmer climate markets, it hits during a time they're going to be coming during the summer months, which isn't such a bad thing because, again, when we're looking at having how we move the needle as far as like what type of customer is coming here, think about it. It's going to move the needle, and we're going to probably see a longer extended period of time. They're not just going to come for the day, but they're probably going to at least come for 2, 3, and maybe even for a week. So I think it's a great opportunity for us to be able to move that needle. Tier 3 is definitely all of the international market with Australia, Canada, China, Brazil, and Mexico. We won't be doing this alone. This is something that we have to do with partnership with Visit San Luis Obispo County, Central Coast Tourism Council, and especially with Visit California. And we definitely, we're actually, and Jack actually can attest to this. I mean, Jack, if you want to make a comment on what you've seen as far as like the international market here, maybe I can have you chime in.
I've been around now with the museum for 3 years, and it used to be that we've got a ton of European visitors in the fall. This summer has been amazing, the number of European visitors we've received at the museum.
A lot of that is really involved and revolved around what Visit California is doing, and also with the Central Coast Tourism Council is doing, because both of those entities that we're partners with are reaching out to those markets, and they want to see those markets actually happen throughout the year. Obviously, you know, we definitely want to see more shoulder season business, but what I like to see is that influx. They're really being very smart, especially Visit California, as far as like trying to reach out to the international markets to have a steady flow of customers coming in throughout the year, not just at specific parts of the year. So they're being very strategic as far as like the countries that they're reaching out to and who their tier one, tier two, and tier three markets are. So I'm very happy to see that we're also benefiting from that. And again, it's with that partnership. But moving forward, you're also going to be seeing this on a regular basis, you know, trade shows and expos. It's very important because we are seeing a huge increase as far as like, because we want to take advantage of the opportunities when we're in different communities. And so with the sales missions, we are going to be trying to reach out to different companies, different organizations, to be to be able to bring in that corporate and group business within Morro Bay. But you can see a listing here. You're going to see this pretty much each time. Aaron is going to be going to a show this next week. It's an add-on. There's an organization, and I'm going to actually have him talk a little bit about that when we get to that segment. Promotional calendar, right now we're in Perfect Pairings. That will actually happen from now into October. Perfect Pairings is a definite promotion that we want to continue to grow and have thrive, where this is an opportunity where the Bureau can actually partner with sales tax businesses to be able to bring in more overnight business. But it also provides an opportunity on a PR standpoint, and I do want to kind of switch gears on that. Unfortunately, I don't have anything specific for the screen, but as far as like promotion, I know that there was really a question the last board meeting when it came to Christmas in July, but I do want to report, and you guys also received the PR, reinvent ourselves and work on promotions with the sales tax businesses to make sure that we are giving them new reasons on coming in. There has been some criticism from some of the hoteliers as far as like creating the Morro Bay Mural Mile, but I will also tell you too that has been another great way in how we've been able to reinvent ourselves to give people new reasons on why they need to come and stay and to extend their stay. Because we've had generations of customers come into Morro Bay for decades, but they're doing the same things. They're staying at the same places. They're eating at the same restaurants. They're shopping at the same retail stores. We need to try to convince them to do new things, and we need to introduce new things into their bailiwick. And so this is a really great thing, because through specifically Christmas in July, we've had some really great pickup, not with just online blogging, but we've also with, you know, some of the major publications like LA Times, Business. This is just a really great way in how to reinvent ourselves. And so I definitely want you to make sure, take a look at the report. And this is actually the one that Mental Marketing has provided for June. Look through that, because you can definitely see where the pickup was. The other one that we had a really phenomenal pickup from was National Oyster Day. LA Times actually picked it up, and they did a their own story on National Oyster Day, and we had great coverage when it came to what we saw as far as like through social media and online and print, etc. And also too, when it comes to, you know, introducing the product of the Morro Bay Adventure Pass, we actually just got coverage in 805 Living, and that's great for us. Those are things that we're not paying specifically for. So sometimes when again, we're really trying to reinvent what people can do and what they can experience and what they can taste and feel and touch and whatever here in Morro Bay, we need to always continue being front of see, you know, how that they've been able to impact Morro Bay, especially with our media push. I do want to, before I move on to as far as the short-term goals, I do also want to bring to light a little bit, if you can go to the Morro Bay Performance Report from Verdin, that was provided in your packet. I talked a little bit about the website and how we've been seeing increases with that. What's really, really important right now is that to highlight that we've had 147% increase in mobile visits. It's critical that we actually, that when we're working on this website project to have a responsive site, we definitely want to make sure that the mobile experience is the best experience possible. And so that's why we actually moved that project up, and we continue to strive on getting our new website up and functioning and running. And we're actually ahead of the schedule right now. We're about 2 weeks ahead of schedule. So we're in the design phase, and we're actually finalizing design. We used to be around 20 to 25%, but we've been diversifying a lot as far as like what we're doing and where we're actually located with different websites, and making sure that you know, we see that kind of change from time to time. But as far as like the mobile website, we are seeing a huge increase as far as like a referral to the desktop site. But we do want to continue to see. So I know Sam has shared with me some of the new design, and it looks fantastic. So I can't wait for that to happen. But total lodging views, we're seeing an increase as far as that. That's something that we're doing a lot with our e-marketing, and we're also doing with social media. That's something that we continue to impress upon for our agencies to make sure that, yes, we can talk about the good story, but we also need to make sure that we're also doing sales as a part of like anything that we're doing. There is a fine line as far as like social media. You can't do all sales, because then you start seeing the algorithms go down, and the number of impressions and the number of people who are doing the likes go down. So we're really doing a great balance, and so you're definitely seeing an increase with that, with the promotions about all new contacts that we didn't have before. So some great things actually happening there. On the reverse side, TripAdvisor, we showed a 16.5% increase in viewership. We actually just did I always continue to look at that, and we're making some changes as far as like photography that's actually on our TripAdvisor page, and also with some of the ads. We always want to make sure that's definitely staying fresh. So, any questions up to this point? Seeing that there's none.
Have one.
Sorry, it's too late. No.
How did we come up with August 5th for Oyster Day?
We found through our research, and so as a part of Perfect Pairings, we wanted to highlight some of those things, and we shared that with our agencies. So it's those things, those fun little like tidbits that you can actually bring awareness to your destination. But short-term goals, again, we want to increase midweek business and overall occupancy, but along with that, we want to extend people's stay. That's always an ongoing. Aaron obviously is the part-time salesperson that is done. Expand into niche markets, that's also ongoing too. You can definitely see that we are trying to expand into the LGBT market, and then our agency is helping us more with that outdoor enthusiast type of market. We've had, you know, some successes with gay travel. We're also established out in Morro Bay Facebook page. We're going to be doing some fun things with that. There also is some discussion as far as Visit San Luis Obispo County, branching out into the LGBT market as well. So there were some discussions just yesterday about that. Lifestyle research. We're holding off a little bit because Visit San Luis Obispo County, they did announce yesterday that they are planning on doing their research in Q1 of next year, and we're going to be a part of that. There's going to be a lot of DMOs that are very interested in being a part of that. We'll be able to reduce that cost down a little bit and have things that are very specific. But I know Sam also talked a little bit about the research, and we definitely want to be working in concert with the city as well. But we do have a budget for both, and so I think one of the things that I definitely would change here is partnering with Visit San Luis Obispo County as well as the city of Morro Bay. Automate lead process. It is in process. Maximize our business and industry partnerships. It is ongoing. You can definitely read through that. Increase alternative revenue streams. That's also ongoing. New experiential website. We're ahead of the schedule, which I'm so happy about. We'll continue to kind of keep you guys abreast of like what's going on there. Simplify the purchasing process. That's also in process as well. Expansion of public relations. I think that Mental Marketing is doing a great job with that. We're doing a new blogger program. But again, we keep on going back to the goals and the markets that we're looking at. Morro Bay image building. You kind of saw that with the stakeholder the corporate image. We do want to always have Morro Bay be positive in the media, not negative in the media. So we're continually doing a photo contest, and so we want to bring in some new photos as far as like, you know, how to define what people define as Morro Bay. And so we definitely want to bring in some of the beauty of that. We had some great successes with the visitor guide cover contest. And so we're looking at doing the same thing with the billboard. So we're going to be working with that, how staff can actually benefit and how it can actually benefit the organization destination. Again, long-term goals, we are looking at, increase midweek business, overall occupancy, plus extend the number of overnights. which benefits everybody becoming China ready. This is something that we're in discussion right now with Visit San Luis Obispo County, Visit California, but we also have to get the other business community involved with that. My goal is to have securing a full-time staffing model, and I know when we're talking about models, this is something that in my background, in my 11 years, close to 11 years with working for a tourism bureau and being a separate nonprofit, is that we do need to have salespeople on the ground selling this destination. There's so many opportunities that we miss out on daily, and it actually keeps me up at night. And I'm not joking with you when I say that. But we do want to see more features in major publications. And as a part of that, we actually have gone out for RFP for both the marketing and PR. Our marketing firm and PR firm, they're planning on submitting a proposal. This is an internal policy that we're going to go out for RFP every 2 years. We need to always stay fresh. We need to make sure that we're staying in the forefront. Again, not to say that our agencies are not doing a good job, but there can be an agency out there that could bring in competencies that we need to be able to grow. So, we just want to, the last thing, we want to help attract new product for Morro Bay. We do have to be established. We have to get the sales end of it done, settled and on a good trajectory, but we also need to have our marketing too, making sure that we're aligning out there before we can actually help specific to bring in projects into Morro Bay. Big things that other CVBs have been able to do is that they've had projects where they brought in convention centers. So those are the type of projects that we're talking about where there's actually brick and mortar bringing those types of things into Morro Bay. As far as like partnerships, Aaron can speak a little bit to this. So Aaron, if you want to grab the mic. He was able to finalize the agreement with Cuesta College. So, Aaron, Duke Castle website. Finally, it took... 20 years. Yeah, it felt like it took a long time. Finally, actually had a great contact, and I was not getting a lot of forward movement. So I went to the agency that actually manages the website for Hearst Castle. And within 2 days, they had their list. They had they basically had the project down. So pretty much all of the hotels, even the ones that do not have websites, are actually listed on there. So it's actually all of our lodging properties, all 37. So there was a cost to that, but it was actually less expensive than what we had budgeted for. We had budgeted $7,500. It actually came in about $5,600. And that was actually just the time that Reister had to put in to putting all of the lodging properties on the website.
Speaking of Hearst Castle, have you checked on our bus wrap out there? I believe our 3 years is coming on being up.
We haven't been notified, and I believe it was 5.
Was it 5?
It
Great.
Was 5. So I think we're good. Morro Bay and Bloom, we did the Morro Bay Mural Mile. That is complete. Morro Bay and Bloom had all of the data and research done on the artists and the murals, pretty much the murals around town. This has been a really great thing, again, in the reinvention. Aaron is going to be reaching out to the Morro Bay High School, Cal Poly. We're still continuing trying to figure out how to circumvent. They have a specific agreement with one of the T-bids within San Luis Obispo County, which we have a very difficult time trying to, like, when we are not helping with these groups. And so it's very, very important for us to continue to work with groups and making sure that even though this is high season, we're losing business to our constituents because we're not working specifically or we're not getting rates back from properties. It's not a shame on property type of thing, but even though it's high season, please still submit your rates. Let the customer decide whether or not that they want to pay that rate. Because if you don't provide a rate, they're going to San Luis Obispo and they're going to Atascadero. So we're offering room rate grids to a lot of these organizations, and we're getting probably about the same 5 properties each time. And I know we're trying to work on new systems. We're using faxing, we're calling, we're just really trying to gain those rates. But what we're getting as far as feedback, a lot of hotels don't want to provide rates because they appear to be high. Well, I'm going to tell you, that when you don't provide a rate, other lodging outside of our area is actually providing probably a very similar rate and they're getting the business.
Right. And it's important for us to communicate to, especially in those high season groups, that the rate does not need to be discounted.
No.
And I think there's a misunderstanding, misperception out there that, and again, this comes back to communication of and understanding, because I do think that probably the lodgers think, okay, they're coming through with, in from slow and coming over for, you know, having to find a breakfast place and then get there. So I think it's important to note that the rate doesn't have to be discounted. And maybe when we put those queries out, we can say that. That doesn't mean take your rate up, but it means, you know, whatever your...
Aaron, did you want to address tell some of that on what some of the language and the communications as far as like blocks and all
of
that?
And one of the things I wanted to impress upon all the hoteliers is that it may seem like it's not a new piece of business, but we're trying to keep the business we have as well with our efforts. If you don't provide a rate for something, they may go shop somewhere else if we don't get them a rate. So that's one of the really important things to it. Aside from getting new business, we want to continue to keep the business we have and grow the business we have. So being responsive of those, some of the parks and rec stuff, they may not seem like new events to us, but we want to continue to service those events and try and keep people here staying in Morro Bay.
Yeah, and then talk about the room block aspect.
Yeah, most of the leads aren't asking for room blocks. I'll say that specifically on the lead if it's asking for room block. So every property is more than welcome to participate in the lead. A lot of them are individuals that are coming in, and they may want to stay here, they may want to stay there, they may want to stay in a large group. It's
as far as like Morro Bay businesses, upcoming promotions. Christmas in July is complete. I will have a report for you guys next month as far as that. We've been reaching out to the partners as far as that. We've had some great successes. We've had other ones that are like, it was okay. But I want to have Jasmine talk a little bit about the project that she's been working on the open late after 8.
Brent received some feedback that properties and visitors were wanting to know where they could send people for activities to do in the evening, specifically after 8 o'clock, where I think we determined that 8 o'clock counts as late night. Anyways, 8 o'clock came up. So we were canvassing businesses in Morro Bay to ask them if they're open after 8. If so, what days and how late. And we created a basic listing. It's got the location, their address, and their phone number, and then it tells you what their hours are. So, for example, 60 State Park, the bar and grill at the Inn at Morro Bay, they're open till 10 o'clock every day. Blue Sky on the Bistro, they're open till 9 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, but only during summer months. We will be distributing this to all the properties when we are giving them...
Starting next week
for the property tours. Yes, during the property tours.
Which I think is good because a lot of the foreign, like the European travelers, they're on a different time schedule and they get in later and they're asking desk clerks, where can we go to eat? And, you know, we got desk clerks calling around trying to find where's still open. I know in the winter it seems to be a larger problem. It's not such a problem during the summer as much. But I think this would be something that would be really nice to do maybe seasonally because it does change. And I know when you get into those really winter months where it's really quiet in town, we struggle to find places to send people at 8, 9 o'clock at night. So I think this is a great thing for the hoteliers and a great resource for them so we know where we can send people. Because you've got clerks trying to figure it out late at night.
This is something that we were looking at doing while we were doing it in concert with the chamber as well as the Merchants Association. And so we'll continue actually working this as a partnership. But we don't want to just share this with just lodging, but we also want to share this with other businesses and entities here in Morro Bay. So we just feel like it definitely has some legs. We are working on promotion right now, Free Gift Fridays. We did it last year. We're actually going to be doing something. We're kind of doing a little bit of a reversal. It's going to be very similar to Christmas in July, but instead of actually stuffing bags, we're going to be doing what we did for Christmas in July and actually providing a flyer for hotels to give out to their guests, and it will have a map because we want to direct people to go to the business versus we just didn't have as big success this last year with Free Gift Fridays because it didn't really drive a lot of people to go to the specific business. And so by doing the map and doing the offer on that, it actually provides a little bit of more of a benefit. Moving ahead here, as far as like a partnerships, you can see how many different events that we've been promoting on the Highway 1 billboard. We're actually in the process of changing that this month for including the Avocado Margarita Festival as well as the Harbor Festival. Meetings, I'm not going to go through specifically with that. You can actually see all of the different meetings that I've had. But I also want projects that you've also been working on. So before that, we close here. So Aaron, did you have anything more that you wanted to add as far as like sales, what's coming up, et cetera?
Well, a week from today, I'll be in Fresno at an Equal Opportunities Commission 50th anniversary celebration. They're having an all-agency training event. There'll be about 1,000 people coming past our booth. It's going to be a great networking opportunity in the Fresno market. Hopefully meet a lot of people. That'll lead to a lot of other things and hopefully get some immediate results from that. Also doing a lot of follow-up with the IPW leads that Brent produced. So those are kind of slow play, planting seeds for future endeavors as well. Getting settled in, too. I've just been getting around, meeting all the hoteliers, seeing all the properties. I'm smiling because that's one of my favorite things to do. And seeing you guys smile, that makes me happy. You know, the energy out there is great with everybody. Everybody's so positive about business, and I wish we had more people here, you know, participating in these. So that's been a big part of my thing, too, is getting communication straight, getting everybody's property and what they have to offer. So that's been a lot of my efforts. It's hard being part-time because it's kind of like you're one foot in, one foot out. Hopefully one of these days you can make it a full-time position. But that's kind of where I've been at, and then focusing on future trade shows that we have coming up right around the corner. So.
That was a hint.
The next promotion that we have is Perfect Pairings. That'll be. Can you hear me? Okay. Perfect Pairings will take us through the end of October. And the idea with this promotion is that we were trying to get people to try something a little bit different in Morro Bay. As Brent mentioned, some people our guests are coming and they're kind of doing the same thing over and over, but we want Morro Bay to stay fresh in their mind. So on the morrobay.org website under the lodging specials, we have more specials than we've had previously. So I want to say thank you to the hoteliers for taking my call. And for some properties, I've just had to make a suggestion of, hey, we already see this on your website, or this is what you're doing. Can we add it to ours? And people have been really receptive to that. That's the Perfect Pairing specials. On Monday, August 17th, we are showcasing Morro Bay properties, so we opened it up to all 37 properties to say, hey, if you want to show city staff and Tourism Bureau staff your rooms, maybe any renovations that you have, just so the people who are working in the city and tourism are a little bit more informed about the inventory that we have. We have 16 properties participating, and we have about 9 people going on the tours. That'll be an all-day event on Monday, August 17th from 9 a.m. to 3. There's still room on that if anybody else wants to attend. And, well, it's not finished, so I thought. Savor the Central Coast event. So what we suggested is that the Tourism Bureau is going to be paying for transportation from Morro Bay to the event in Santa Margarita and back. And we thought that would be a nice hook to get people to stay here. So the specialists stay 2 nights, receive a Sunday ticket, and then transportation is included. So overall, the extra value that we're giving to guests is about a $50 value. So they can still come and enjoy the Central Coast, enjoy the event, and since it's a wine tasting event, they don't have to worry about how they're going to get to and from safely. We have 5 properties participating, and we would like to make it at least 8 so that the shuttle makes sense economically.
So there's still time to respond to my email or my voicemail if I've left it for you to say that your property wants to participate.
We will be promoting that next week. We have an email blast going out, so definitely take advantage of Saver Sundays. As far as transportation, there will be actually two loops happening there and back twice on Sun Freeport. Any questions?
Any questions?
I will say great job over at the Bureau.
Yeah.
Good job. You guys have been working really hard. I know every time I pop in there, a couple subcommittees, they're all back there working really hard. So good job, guys. It takes the whole team, so we appreciate it.
On behalf of the hoteliers and the community, we really do appreciate your hard work. It's a lot of work that you do just looking at the meetings that you went to, I can imagine what it's like then if you couple Aaron's meetings and Jasmine's meetings, too, into that fray. It's like, whoa, that's a lot of meetings and work that's getting done on our behalf for our community. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. Thumbs up from the crowd.
Oh, one last thing, creative. You guys will be seeing some new creative from the from Verdin present.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. And thank you, everyone. Okay, so we are accepting the director's Tourism Bureau report for file, and I'm sorry, I have somewhere, here it is. I have misplaced my agenda with the paperwork. I have found it. Thank you very much. And we are down to declaration of future agenda items. We have 2016-27 event funding that will come back, and then we'll have a report on our bylaws that will come back. We will have... What will we have?
The Civitas legal stakeholder and corporate image protection
policy.
Right. And then I have one more that we need to add to the future declaration, and this is probably going to require us to have a special closed session meeting. It's specifically to address the annual review and performance evaluation and wages and benefits for the director of tourism. And so that'll require a closed session meeting. So I'll probably do like a doodle poll to get us set up for a closed session meeting that we can all do, or have Brent actually schedule the meeting for us if he can do that. And then we can move forward with that. We should do that before. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I have a board announcement. Member Myers is in the audience. Yay. I'm sorry, that threw me off. We need to do that before the next month's business. So actually, it would be Fred who would go back to, because he's board chair now. So Fred and Michelle will be scheduling that. And I'll get together with one of the two of you to do turnover on where we're at in that process. Okay?
The only other thing, Madam Chair, that I have is staff and organizational goal update. I want to make sure that we're aligned as far as like the goals.
Okay.
I have something. Could we add maybe for future agenda item, I'd love to have a visit slow update, being that we're all paying into the assessment starting July 1st, and maybe that's something that could be like a monthly, I don't know, I mean, just something
yeah,
that
I'll
I don't
definitely
want to
ask. And then we do also have RFP. RFPs for the agencies are...
Great. We have a lot. Gentlemen, anything?
I'm going to do some shameless self-promotion here.
Hit it.
On TripAdvisor, the Skateboard Museum is now ranked number 2 in things to do, right behind Morro Rock. So something has been around, excuse me, for a million years. We're number 2. I'm happy with that. I don't know if any of you saw this August issue of Sunset. There were 35 things selected to do between San Diego and Seattle, and the museum was ranked number 10, I believe. There, nice little piece there. And then last but not least, Sunday's issue of the LA Times travel section, there was a feature on the museum as well. So I'm very happy with all that. Come visit.
Come visit. The only board announced, are we done with future agenda items? Yes. Board announcement that I have is Morro Bay, City of Morro Bay folks and residents in general, school is almost back in. Next week on Tuesday the 18th is orientation at Morro Bay High School. You will be seeing children traveling on all modes of transportation towards the high school in and throughout the day. They'll be riding bicycles and skateboards and driving their cars over there through that intersection. So I'm just asking you to keep an extra eye out for the kiddos as we move back into the back-to-school mode. I have some of those kiddos here in this town. And while I appreciate everyone's safe driving around everyone's children, so just mind those bicycle routes and those crosswalks, if you would. And that's the only thing I have as an announcement. That's my annual back-to-school announcement. With that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. We're out of here. Thank you.
Jack, did you get your pulse cap going?
Oh, I'm sorry. Time is 10 minutes to 1.